space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission:
to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Crap.
Operator, give me the number for 911.
six, five, four, three, two, one, zero. Blast off!
I got a laptop. I make music with my friends. I've got a laptop, baby. I make music with my friends. There it is.
God's name is going on in here. What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
You're listening to Mad Science at www.shazizradio.com. If you want to join in on the chat, jump over there to the superchat.html, where you have access to not one but four separate chat rooms, as well as you can scroll down and click on the People for People radio link and go over there and talk to those wonderful people as well. So, you know, I don't care how we get there per se. I mean, I do kind of care how we get there per se. I hope we get there via the people first before the system basically takes control of all newer technologies and such. But the thing is, it's coming. Regardless of what anybody out there in the energy industry wants to do, they're not going to be able to stop what's coming down the road. What am I saying there? I'm saying that the technology that if you can see past just the simple of what somebody's trying to explain to you on simple technologies and possibilities and such, they're going to inadvertently, accidentally, or whatever way, they're going to put the wrong things on the market that will quite literally empower the people with free electricity, plain and simple. See, the technology out there is from capacitor technology to graphene technology to different types of materials, piezoelectrics, and so on down the line, is getting so incredibly advanced. One day you will see solar capacitors. Solar capacitors? I put a question mark behind that. What's a solar capacitor? Well, imagine your doggone solar panel. It's not just something to gather up energy to send that energy down into your storage bank. It in itself is the storage bank. Now, if you understand the basics of how capacitors actually work, you know, you got a bunch of surface there, you got two separate plates, and you store an imbalance of power on there, and that power wants to balance itself back out, and so you get a charge coming out the other side there. But the thing about it is, if you understand how modern-day ultracapacitors and boost caps, all these different names of all these different types of capacitors, Maxwell being some of the very best capacitors on the market today, really powerful capacitors. I mean, they make doggone combination batteries and capacitors so that you have, you know, the best of both worlds in the deal. The best thing about a capacitor is it can charge and discharge rapidly. Well, if you've been paying attention to any of my videos on energy transfer, then you're probably going to be ahead of the game as far as what you could do with this type of technology. Imagine, I had to get a drink of coffee. Imagine a doggone clear, completely clear see-through solar panel. Perfectly flexible, can bend to any shape you want. Heck, you could even take these doggone solar panels and vacuum form them to literally fit around any given object that you want to power up. Just like whenever they do the vacuum forming with a clear acrylic and stuff like that, you could literally shape these capacitors any way that you want and quite literally be able to see through these things. And when you hear some of these little podcasts that I'm going to play, some of the newer technologies that's coming out, it's you're going to be happy if you understand what it is that I'm trying to point out. But it's coming. There's no stopping it. Now, with all the different technologies available out there today, they might want to try to reserve these types of technologies for, specific applications and so on down the line. But I'm the kind of guy that whenever I'm out there looking at things, I don't just look at what it actually does. I look at what all the other kinds of multiple uses it could potentially be used for. Transistor technology out there, we have the capability of making really super fast acting switches. So imagine a solar capacitor that you just put out there in the sun, and as this doggone thing's gathering up energy, it's also storing that energy, so there's no need for large capacitor banks anymore. It is its own powerhouse. Well, when the energy inside there builds up to enough to literally turn the switch on for like a transistor or a MOSFET or 555 timers, and then suddenly sends that energy out there to be the equivalence of Tesla flipping that switch on real quick. So you get this sudden surge of power out there coming from this power. So this power source, the solar panel, it's not working in your conventional sense. It's quite literally storing and pulsing, storing and pulsing, storing and pulsing. And with that said, knowing how to do it, types of induction and different types of things that you do for electric motors, pulse motors, and even the modern day, like the RC motors out there, they're just incredible the way that they're designed. But you take these doggone, Tamaj in there said pretzel panels. Yeah, you can shape them like a pretzel as well. But heck, you could even have sunglasses that you can actually see through that are actually charging power. I mean, they're storing power right there, while you're using them to, block out the sunlight. It's actually storing that energy, sending it down to charge your phone or whatever, and I could actually could send it wirelessly too, because the technology we've got these days for wireless energy is pretty impressive. But nonetheless, they're going to inadvertently, accidentally put this technology on the store shelves, and the moment they do, if you're able to recognize what you're looking at. The reason why I've been trying to show people about these projects of storing energy using the DDS signal generator, because the low amount of input as opposed to the high amount of output that I'm getting from that experiment, and being able to store that power, then be able to use that power on demand, that's going to be a key factor in what it is that I'm talking about. And so with that, different types of technology like transistors and MOSFETs and 555 timers and different electronical switches and technology we've been talking about forever and a day here on Mad Science, it's going to blow your doors off when you realize how powerful these things really are going to be. This first podcast that I want to play, the guy's talking about basically a solar panel in the future, and in the near future, that has the potential of running your entire house, one solar panel. So let's listen to this here for a second.
My name is Adolfo De Sanctis. I'm a research fellow at the University of Exeter, and I work on the electronic and optoelectronic properties of two-dimensional materials. As often happens in science, discoveries are made by serendipity, where we start looking for something and we end up looking for something else. That's exactly what happened to me. I was looking to measure some properties of a material, and I ended up actually discovering a new phenomenon that nobody had observed before. I worked with four other people, and in particular with my line manager and supervisor, Professor Saverio Russo.
I lead a team of early career researchers working at the forefront of quantum mechanical aspects of emerging atomically thin materials. Our group is based in physics, but our activity is truly interdisciplinary, reaching out in areas that are close to engineering, chemistry, and material science as well. The work we are doing with Adolfo aims to improve the efficiency of solar cells and also improve the efficiency of detectors.
If we take a material and a semiconductor and we pull it, literally we stretch it, its electronic properties change. They change in such a way that the electrons behave differently because they feel a different energy gap, as we call it in semiconductor physics. Now, very interesting things can happen at this point, and one of them is related to my discovery, which is called charge funneling. Currently, solar energy harvesting works this way. We have the energy coming from the sun, which is represented by this red water, and we're trying to fill our battery by pouring it directly into it. Everything spills out and not much is collected in the battery. What my research does, literally puts a funnel on top of the battery. By doing so, we can actually fill it in a much faster way. obtaining a much higher efficiency. This discovery is very important because it demonstrates for the first time that we can use two-dimensional materials to make novel devices that have never been thought before.
So in 2012, the group became known for the discovery of what we called Graphexeter, that is an augmented form of graphene. Graphene is an atomically thin layer of carbon atoms. We dressed up the surface of this single layer of carbon atoms with the molecules of ferric chloride and obtained a material that is now known as the best transparent conductor of electricity.
These materials are only a few atoms thick, and no other material that we use nowadays in technology such as solar cells can actually do what they do because they would break. However, these materials can be stretched up to 25%, and that's what makes it possible. So not only is a demonstration of an important phenomenon, but it's also a demonstration that the only materials that can do this are the materials I've been working with in the past 4 years. The ability of these materials to stretch and strain so much opens new possibilities, for example, computer CPUs that don't heat, or high-performance cameras or other type of sensors. We demonstrated a phenomenon that could potentially boost the efficiency of solar cells from the current 21% up to 61%. My name is Adolfo De Santis, and I believe that my research can make the whole world powered with solar energy.
So if you understood anything of what he said, the technology that he's working on alone, this is just one particular individual, but the technology he's working on basically solves a whole bunch of different problems all in one shot. If you think about processors in your computer that don't get hot because of the way they're actually funneling that energy in, that's basically what I've been talking about for a long time. It's not that we don't have the power, it's that we're using it improperly. We're not using it to its maximum efficiency. We can move energy from point A to point B without doing the damage to the circuitry or the devices that we want to run. And so, with that said, you know, by putting buffers in between modern standard day electricity, the way that we're actually using it, you know, at the 50 or 60 hertz range, then we could take that same energy, disperse it equally to all the different devices that we want to run, without shoving too much current to these devices. See, if you think about the wall outlet, when you got 60 or 50 hertz worth of AC coming out there, whether it be 220 or 110 or 120, whatever, it doesn't matter. It's a constant flow of energy back and forth between the device and the wall outlet. So something's got to give because you've got a constant flow of power coming and going, and there's no place for that energy to go. That's a whole lot more energy than is actually required to run every single device, and we're trying to shove that energy through there. And so therefore, you know, people think it requires a lot of current to do what it is that we've been doing, which in fact it doesn't. But nonetheless, this little bit of technology that he's been working on, combined with all the next ones in line, I'm going to play some more podcasts. I want to give you some ideas of different things that in the solar industry is going on. And I'm telling you, just in solar panels alone, this isn't even scratching the surface of what they're going to be putting on the market here shortly, that they're inadvertently going to give everybody quite literally what it is that we've been talking about, free energy. It's going to happen. There's no way they can stop it at this point. Either somebody in their garage laboratory is going to put a device on the table, or they're going to put it out there on the market and not realize what they've done until it's already done, flat out. Because these capacitor technology alone, what we got nowadays, these things work like batteries, but they work better than batteries because batteries aren't designed to charge and discharge rapidly like these capacitors are able to do. And the key about that whole deal is that you can use these capacitors in conjunction with batteries so that the battery stays full and the actual capacitors themselves are actually doing the work. See, in the music industry, as far as car audios, they've already figured this out. They can supplement the battery so that your alternator doesn't work too hard from trying to draw too much power, and they allow the capacitors, the car audio capacitors, to do the heavy lifting, so to speak, because they're able to store a punch and they're able to charge and discharge really quickly. Well, the technology that he's talking about there, that actually gives you the capability of funneling that energy in, like I've been trying to say, you know, instead of trying to shove all this current through there, you can take the voltage, which is pressure, just like blowing up a balloon, and you can charge these things really fast. And if you get the charge and discharge perfect down there, your batteries, they won't fail. They will not fail. They'll be basically having to sit there just to hold a charge instead of actually, you know, draining it and then trying to recharge it. You just can't charge normal, you know, batteries, lead acid batteries or nickel metal hydride or lithium ion or any of the, name brand batteries. They're not designed to charge like that. But capacitors are. Capacitor technology is getting really, really super incredible. And that, you know, with the graphene technology and stuff like that. So, let's move on down the line to this next one right here.
Hi, it's that time of the year when we look at the most efficient solar panels and gauge how much the technology has progressed over the last year. This video will be presented in two parts. First, we will look at the solar cell efficiencies as recorded in the lab. In the second segment, we look at the most efficient panels in the market categorized by cell technologies. On this channel, Synergy Files, we aim to inspire people towards engineering and technology for a better, more sustainable world. So subscribe today to get the updates of our latest videos. So without further ado, let's start with the peak efficiency of solar cells as recorded in the lab. At number 10, we have the dye-sensitized solar cells that remain at 11.9%, seeing no improvement over the record that was achieved by Sharp Corporation. At number 9, we see a huge leap in organic solar cell performance that jumped from peak efficiency of 11.5% to 15.6%. At number 8, we have cadmium telluride thin film cells by First Solar that saw no improvement in their efficiency record of 22.1% over the year. At number 7, we have the very widely used technology of polycrystalline silicon cells at 22.3% efficiency, while at number 6, we have another thin film technology of 6, recording efficiency of 22.9%, which is a slight improvement on the previous efficiency value of 22.6%. At number 5, we have the unstabilized perovskite cell technology, which is relatively new, recording an efficiency value of 23.7%. Now, sitting at number 4, we have the more...
I want to pause this just for a second. When this particular individual is talking about efficiency of these different types of solar panels out there, it's not that that solar panel isn't efficient. It's just that the way that you're using that, it's happened to work a lot harder than it should actually have to work. If you taking that energy and you understand how to move it down there, speed it up and slow it down to whatever it is that you're requiring to run whatever device, then you can take that same solar panel, which normally, according to the way that they run it now, is not very efficient, and you can drastically increase the power output of these things so that one little tiny solar panel can do a whole lot more work than you think it can.
Crystallized silicon cell with an impressive value of 26.1%. While at number 3, we have another thin film technology of gallium arsenide, pipping the monocrystalline silicon with an efficiency value of 27.8%. It has to be mentioned though that gallium arsenide is a very expensive technology. At number 2, we have a new entrant, which is the tandem perovskite cell that has reached an amazingly high value of 28% in very little time. At number one, we have the multi-junction solar cell by Soitec that still remains the most efficient with a value of 46% conversion and will probably remain at this position for the foreseeable future. And now we'll look at the most efficient solar panels available in the market for various technologies. At number 6, we have Seraphim Polycrystalline SRP340 BPA with an efficiency value of 17.4%. At number 5, we have the Cadmium Telluride Solar Panel by First Solar, model number FS6445A with an efficiency value of 18%. At number 4, we have the Panasonic's HIT Solar Panel with a model number 330SJ53 with an efficiency value of 19.7%. Moving on to number 3, we have SunPower, which is a renowned company, and their model number SPR-X21-345 has an efficiency value of 21.5%. Please note that SunPower have discontinued the X22-360, which had a superior efficiency value of 22.2%. At number 2, we have the Alta Devices Gallium Arsenide Multi-Junction Generation 4 panel with an efficiency value of 29%. And finally, right at the top, at number 1, we have the Spectrolab XJD Prime with an efficiency value of 30.7%. This concludes the list, but there are a few things that should be noted. High efficiency panels do not mean the most effective panels for all scenarios. In fact, efficiency only has value when the space is limited. Often, in order to buy very high efficiency panels, a huge amount of premium has to be paid. It is for this reason that gallium arsenide and multi-junction solar cells have not found their way in domestic and commercial scale applications. They have, however, their utility in space applications. Most of the solar cell technologies have reached or are close to reaching maturity. However, new technologies like perovskite and organic solar cells hold the key in taking the technology forward. Similarly, there's a lot of scope in reducing the price of multi-junction solar cells through economy of scales. And with this, the video is concluded. If you learned something from the video, please do hit the like button, share it to spread the word, and thank you for your attention.
Yeah, thank you for your attention. So he just went down a bunch of different types of solar panels with their types of efficiency, their amount of efficiency level, and all that kind of stuff. But if you think about the cost efficiency of actually buying these doggone things or manufacturing, the technology is getting to the extent where it's like Robert Murray Smith. He makes graphene in his shop, you know, and he's actually started his own battery company. So he's working on really super efficient batteries and stuff. And, you know, so it's not something that you have to have really super high-tech equipment in order to build once you understand the technology, how it's actually working. But I'm telling you that before you realize it, they're going to put things out there on the market right now. They've already have to some extent. The Chinese have actually put these little tiny toys that you put up in the window. And if you watch these things and you can look past just the simple of what's going on there, these things are incredibly efficient. They'll work on ambient light. I've actually done a few videos where I've took solar panels that I've taken out of different things like the solar lighting for outside and different toys like the one I just explained, and they're picking up light off of the doggone fluorescent bulbs in the ceiling. So that don't even scratch the surface of where we're actually heading with just the solar panel industry alone. Because the different types of things that are coming out, if you take all of these things, these little nuggets of information from each one of these podcasts that I'm playing, and you think past it, imagine you got a flexible solar panel that is built with piezoelectric qualities, which we'll get down to, I believe one of these podcasts has in there. But The Chinese are working on one that has piezoelectric qualities so that even when the sun's not out, if it's raining outside, those raindrops smashing onto that panel are producing electricity. And the if it's not raining outside, but it's windy as all get out, these flexible panels would actually have the capability of, you know, producing a wave inside that doggone panel that is flexing that piezoelectric. So even when the sun ain't out, the rain ain't out, the wind is blowing or whatever, or even vibrations around, if you live next door to a train track or something and the train comes past your house every so many hour times during the hour, that vibration's enough to start sending some power back into your batteries. Or worst case scenario, ain't nothing going on outside, so you go out there and you got a device that you can actually shake that panel a little bit until it's like one of them charge up flashlights that you've seen, those ones that has a magnet in there. And when the magnet's going back and forth through that coil wire, it's producing energy and charging up capacitors that lights up the, you know, light, the flashlight. So all of these things in conjunction, one of them by itself might not sound that doggone fantastic, but we're talking about future technology where you could put it in every single window of your house, every single window of your vehicle, still be able to see it, even the greenhouse for that matter. You know, you got light coming into the greenhouse and, you know, keeps it nice and warm in there, but plus also charges up a power source that can keep the lighting on there. Even the lighting is getting incredibly efficient. So let's move on down to this next one right here.
Hi, welcome to this video in which we will show you how graphene is positively impacting solar PV systems. On this channel, Synergy Files, we aim to inspire budding engineers and technicians for a better, more sustainable world. Subscribe to the channel for more such videos. Help our channel grow by hitting the like button. Graphene, as we all know, has been cited as the miracle material. It is one form, or more scientifically, one allotrope of pure carbon. Its remarkable properties have opened up several avenues of research. Graphene is a single atom layer thick sheet of carbon, so essentially it is a 2D material. It is very flexible and efficient thermal and electrical conductor. It also has very high strength and is optically transparent. This makes it extremely interesting material for scientists, as there are many materials that are conductive but they are not transparent. And for this reason, graphene lends itself for application in photovoltaics. At present, several different variations of graphene-based solar cells are being researched. Even for the best of students, it is difficult to read the scientific journals and get the measure of various strands of research because of the terminology. And so we have broken down the jargon in this video and will present the ongoing work in an easy-to-understand language. There are three main areas where graphene is helping solar panels push the boundaries of performance. The first is their use as electrode or charge carriers. The second is their use as photovoltaic material. And third is their use as a charge holder. We'll discuss each of them individually. First, we look at graphene's use as an electrode or a charge carrier. The relatively higher electric conductivity of graphene is widely known. For a semi-metal, it has an impressively low resistance value of 3.1 microohms per centimeter square. This sounds even more astounding when you consider that graphene is a two-dimensional material. If you look at an ordinary solar PV cell, then we find metal strips covering it. These strips, or mesh wires, are there to collect the free electrons knocked out by the sun rays. There are two disadvantages of having these strips. Firstly, they do not cover all the areas for collecting the electrons, and there is a reason for that, which is in fact a second problem. The rays of sun are blocked by these metal strips on areas covered by them. This mesh of conducting strip sits right at the top and can block up to 5% of the sun rays reaching the PV cell, which reduces the overall output. This is exactly where graphene fits in. It is transparent and it can collect electrons knocked out by the sun rays thus improving the overall efficiency of the panel. Also, the layer of graphene is flexible and thus is ideal for organic solar cells whose unique setting point is their flexibility. Graphene is also an indispensable material for panels that require flexibility as well as transparency. At present, indium tin oxide, ITO, is widely used. Although this material is conductive and transparent, but it is stiff and brittle. It cracks up when the cell is flexed, and therefore graphene is an ideal replacement as a flexible electrode. It has to be further noted that ITO is expensive, as only 5 grams of it costs about $200. It can also cause damage to the organic layer and the oxide layer, which is very sensitive to wear. On the other hand, the bonding with graphene is more natural and smooth. In short, graphene can not only be used to improve ordinary silicon solar cells as an electrode, but also it can be used for transparent and flexible solar cells. Next up, we look at graphene's use as a PV material. Now, we understand that almost all solar cells are based on the combination of P and N-type semiconductor material. There is a new breed of PV cells emerging that are based on Schottky junction diodes. This is an attempt to increase the efficiency of solar cells by using slightly different process than P N-type cells and adding an impurity energy level in the band gap through the use of new materials. And one of these new materials is doped graphene. It has been reported that graphene silicon Schottky cells have reached efficiencies of 10.69%, while graphene perovskite cells have surpassed efficiencies of 20.3% in lab tests. Finally, let's now examine another use of graphene in solar cells as a charge collector. The third main area of research for graphene in PV is its use as a charge-holding parallel plate, just like in a capacitor. Scientists from Ocean University of China have been working on harnessing the power of rain through solar panels. As we all understand that rainwater is not pure and it has positively charged ions of sodium, calcium, and ammonium. A layer of graphene is placed on the top of the solar cell not as a current collector, but as an ion holder and a separator. The solar panel is sandwiched between the layer of graphene at the top and ITO and plastic at the bottom. What happens is that the positively charged ions bind to the ultra-thin layer of graphene, forming a double layer, technically referred to as a pseudocapacitor, with the electrons already present. The potential energy difference between the two layers is strong enough to generate an electric current. So far, the energy conversion efficiency has reached 6.3%, but it is the ability to generate electricity, come rain or shine, that is the exciting prospect of this technology. In other words, we can now create an all-weather solar panel courtesy of graphene. So that's it. We have tried to cover in this video how graphene is taking solar cells to the next level. Obviously, the cost of extraction of graphene is a stumbling block, but not one that can be overcome with a bit of commercial interest. And with this, the video is concluded. Please hit the like button if you learned from the video. Subscribe to the channel for more tech-related videos. Thank you for your attention.
Cool. So, basically, graphene technology, piezoelectric technology, capacitor technology, all combined into one deal. You're talking about quite literally a solar panel that is its own storage bank. Sounds pretty high tech, don't it? It's really not as technical as it actually sounds. Once they get the materials down there, where they're actually standard on the market, you've got a system set up right there that you can cheaply start to build solar collectors that basically store a lot of power. When the capacitor portion of it gets fully charged up, it'll send power through that transistor, allowing all that power to disperse in one shot, one solid pulse, and pulsing your coil systems that would, you know, generate yet even more power out of that same exact device. Let's move along to the next one here.
I'm here in Lausanne to find out more about perovskite, a light-sensitive crystal, an incredibly exciting new material that could revolutionize solar power. In just a few years, its power conversion efficiency figures are nearly on a par with traditional silicon at 22%, and it's 1,000 times thinner. All of this could mean in the future the price we pay for solar power could fall considerably.
These third-generation solar cells are built up layer by layer, like a sandwich, with perovskite as the light-harvesting active layer. Semi-transparent and flexible, perovskite could one day be used instead of glass windows in buildings. Experiments on the solar cells are taking place at the École Polytechnique Fédérale Lausanne as part of the EU's GOT Solar project.
What's surprising about perovskites is that they're made from a solution with simple procedures and from materials which are readily available, and we're seeing performance results which today are already ahead of silicone polycrystals. The caveat is the lead, of course. We must be careful we manage this weakness properly. But otherwise, it really is an extraordinary material that will forge its own path.
To get around the lead problem, scientists coat the solar cells in protective glass. The final layer of the solar cell is gold, which acts as one of the two electrodes. One aspect the project is exploring is so-called tandem technology, using silicon and perovskite.
The most interesting thing is the fact that we can combine this technology with the one that used silicon in order to obtain cells whose efficiency can reach 30%.
It's here in Eindhoven the researchers are working on scaling up the perovskite solar cells. The challenge is to replicate the results of the laboratory on a larger scale, an important step along the road to commercializing perovskite solar cells.
This device can produce up to 18 volts and 2 watts. We were able to reach the goals of this project, but we would like to go beyond that. But some aspects of this technology are still being developed, some of which are fundamental to it, such as stability.
Dr. Olivier Bellon with project partner Great Sound Solar's working on stress tests for the solar panels in the Soliance Research Center, seeing how they survive in extreme temperatures and under prolonged light, conditions which simulate real weather.
When do you imagine perovskite could be on the market as a commercial product?
If the recent results in stability and developments in the technology are anything to go by, I could easily imagine wearable technology or consumer electronics being the first products to use perovskite within a very short period of time. Before any more significant applications, such as the building products or the automotive industry, the timescales are likely to be a little bit longer.
Dr. Bellon reckons their first perovskite-based products could see the light of day as early as 2019.
Early as 2019, doesn't that surprise you, since we're living in 2019? If you look around, you're going to find out there's some really incredible technology already out there on the store shelves. And if you understand what this technology does, and you understand how the doggone, how they're figuring efficiency on that, put all that crud aside. You don't need to worry about what they say that doggone solar panel efficiency is. That's using the standard model. But if you want to take it to the extreme, you can see how far you can actually push that same solar panel by connecting up circuits that are already in existence. There's some RC circuits out here that are pretty doggone incredible. And I've actually been using them to pulse the neodymium magnet accelerator, plus been using them to pulse larger motors that are designed like the smaller RC motors, that they actually use these motors for paragliding, electric paragliders, basically electric airplanes. And the whole problem that you see in the like the either electronic electric vehicle industry, whether it be aviation or even, you know, just regular vehicles, is that they need better storage on there. So we're getting down to that as well. But there's going to be a company out there that's going to basically corner the market. You watch, I'll tell you what, you'll know who's already up on it here pretty doggone quick. So let's move right along here.
Tomatoes presents Solar Power.
Rain or shine, future solar panels may be able to generate power. Scientists in China are producing solar panels that can produce energy from the last source you'd expect when we're talking about solar energy, rainwater. In a typical solar panel, photons from a light source knock electrons free from atoms within the panel, and the action generates a flow of electricity. Although solar power technology has been getting increasingly efficient, there is still the tiny problem that solar cells can't produce any power when it's raining. Researchers are introducing a new type of solar panel by adding a layer of graphene, or carbon atoms arranged in a honeycomb structure, to dye-sensitized solar cells. A flexible layer of indium tin oxide and plastic is included underneath. Graphene has unusual properties that allow electrons to move freely throughout the entire layer. Rainwater contains positively charged ions like ammonium, calcium, and sodium.
Alright, I gotta pause this for a second. If you're just listening to those different chemicals that's actually in the water, and you're thinking back about how, you know, like maybe a salt water battery or a lead acid battery works, and you think past the standard deal, you could actually turn the chemistry that's in rain. You know, they're always talking about acid rain. Think about that, what I just said there. Different things that are picked up in the atmosphere from, you know, industry or whatever. You turn that rainwater into a chemical battery along with the piezoelectric portion of it, along with the vibration of the wind blowing underneath that panel and or the sun beating down on it. So it don't matter what's going on out there. Even if you're getting dew on the glass, the chemistry together would still allow that doggone thing to produce energy 24/7, no matter what's happening outside. So let's listen more here.
Water binds to the panel surface, a double layer of positive ions and negatively charged electrons is created, which ends up producing a voltage and current. Tests of the new solar panels have been able to produce hundreds of microvolts, which is small even compared to a standard AA battery. So there's a long way to go before the new solar panels become more widely used, but more efficient future versions could mean big things for the solar industry.
China powers on world's largest floating solar farm. China just flipped the on switch on their latest green energy project. A new floating solar farm, constructed on a lake in Huainan City in central China, is said to be the largest in the world. It is made up of 160,000 solar panels. These panels can produce electricity for up to 15,000 homes. The farm is connected to a city where some 2.5 million people reside. The panels are placed at varying depths over the lake. The water helps cool the electronics in the devices and stops them from overheating. Solar energy, like wind, is sporadic and environmentally dependent, meaning the amount of power panels can gather may sometimes fluctuate depending on the weather. Tesla gets into the home energy game. Tesla has unveiled a solar roof product that doesn't distract from the aesthetics of a home, as they look just like ordinary tiles. Each Tesla roof tile is made up of a solar cell, quartz glass, and a color louver film that makes it appear opaque from an angle. Tesla CEO Elon Musk said the tiles have 98% of the efficiency of traditional solar panels. However, the tiles have the potential to go above normal efficiency if improved coatings can trap light inside to reduce loss of energy. Tesla sees the solar roofs working in tandem with its Powerwall battery unit to provide energy for homes and its electric vehicles. Tesla unveiled four types of solar tile during a launch event at the Desperate Housewives set at Universal Studios last Friday. The tiles will be available next year through SolarCity, a solar installation company chaired by Elon Musk, which he's trying to merge with Tesla. Musk didn't reveal any specific prices, but said the Tesla panels would cost less than the full cost of a roof, with the added benefit of being able to generate electricity.
Not to mention that, which a lot of people aren't even thinking about it. If you're actually if you were ever into doing roofing, you know there's a lot of heat generated by the sun that beats down on your roof. So if it's like 90 degrees Fahrenheit outside, then it's probably over 100 degrees Fahrenheit up there on that roof. So with different technologies in conjunction with each other, not only could you heat your water with the same solar panels that you're generating electricity with via the basically the photovoltaic or whatever types of solar panels that you go with, or even to the extent of thermoelectrics, which could actually be built into the same exact power, plus be able to be its own storage bank as well, using capacitor technology. So what I'm saying is, if you keep an eye on this market, what's going on out there, and you look at these devices and you think past what the actual application was that they're saying that it's capable of, you're going to find out that it's capable of a heck of a lot more power output than what they're actually saying. So the efficiencies, I don't even listen to efficiencies anymore as far as what they say how efficient solar panels are. But they're going to put this out there on the doggone market, and the moment they do, you've got everything you need to take this piece with that one, and next thing you know, you could power that house for free, flat out. No ifs, ands, or buts. If you understand what I've been trying to explain to everybody about how to move that energy, about how to use it incredibly efficiently, and with the devices that are already available on the market right now, one little tiny solar panel is worth a heck of a lot more, is capable of pushing a heck of a lot more power out than you think. So it's depending on how you're going to be using it. If you're trying to use it in the conventional sense, to where you're charging batteries and running inverters, you got to understand that the batteries themselves aren't designed to charge and discharge rapidly, and the doggone inverters themselves are basically using too much power. You got that battery trying to shove too much power to that inverter, which the inverter will do its job, but it has a lot of drawbacks, such as the wasted energy from the heat created by the doggone transistors or MOSFETs inside the system. And even to the extent of the way that you're drawing power off of that same exact system. So if you understand what the heck is going on with how that energy is traveling, which is one of the key points of what I've been trying to put out there to everybody, then you use that energy in a different fashion than what you're normally accustomed to. Not only are your inverters going to stay cooler, your motors, all your devices are going to stay cooler. They're not going to get destroyed by the thermal breakdown of how you're actually using that power. So we've got more power than we need to quite literally have what people people said that they needed. They said we need a clean, renewable, alternative energy, and yet it's been here all along. But they're going to make it easy enough for the average Joe to be able to go out there and be able to save a crazy amount of money on utility bills, as long as they ain't going out there trying to tell the government, hey, look what I figured out. Don't tell the government nothing. Whenever you figure out what it is that I've been pointing out to you, you show your neighbor And they do the same exact thing. You can recapture light when you light it up from the power that's coming in from your solar panel outside, send it through there, that light energy is traveling down there again, captured a second time, and a third time, and so on down the line. And when they talked about different types of, if you could figure out a way to basically trap that light energy into the solar panel, if you go back and look in the security industry a long time ago, they always used to have these two-way mirrors, and light can go through one side, but it can't go through the other side because of that reflective coating on the opposite side. So you can see out, but you can't see in. So that reflective coating is enough to, if you put that film up on, they actually used to use this in cars for window tinting. Put that upside down where the reflection, the light is allowed to come through the one side, but it reflects off of that reflective coating on the opposite side, bouncing that back inside that panel, making it yet even more efficient. So, Tomaj is in there. Talking about a solar-powered coffee pot, 100-gallon one. Yeah, I could use 100 gallons of coffee right now. Use excess heat to make coffee. There you go. That's what you need to be thinking about, is what is being wasted, where your losses are in your system, and then that's where you'll be able to start saving money hand over fist, because you'll take that what would have normally been wasted energy and push it on down the line. So let's finish this one here.
Dragonflies can be used to spy on you. Scientists have created a technology that can turn flying insects into surveillance drones. The technology makes use of a tiny backpack equipped with solar power and navigation systems. The backpack is fitted onto a dragonfly and commands the insect with optogenetics, a biological technique that uses light to control the steering neurons inside the insect's nerve cord. Dragonflies can then be turned into tiny surveillance systems. The same setup can be applied to other insects of a similar size, such as honeybees. Other applications of this technology may include guided pollination, payload delivery, and precision medicine and diagnostics. The Great American Eclipse will cause massive energy loss.
Did you hear what that dude just said? He said they could make little tiny backpacks to go on dragonflies and bees, and they could run around spying on you. Now see, that's some pretty incredible technology there. I'm telling you folks, you're going to have to keep your eyes peeled, man. I'm going to be out there with my BB gun shooting little dragonfly backpacks right off of them. So I don't need them out there spying on me. So, let's move right along here.
The eclipse is just around the corner, and while many are excited, the astronomical event will also lead to a gigantic dip in solar energy production. The Great American Eclipse may cause a loss in solar energy production enough to power some 7 million homes. According to U.S. government data, California provides 40% of the solar energy in the U.S. The state will see its solar power generation capacity reduced by 70% between 9.02 a.m. and 11.54 a.m. local time on the day of the eclipse. To fill the power gap during this time, solar-reliant grids may turn to natural gas or hydro plants for energy. The eclipse is set to take place on August 21st, 2017 in the U.S.
France planning to pave roads with solar panels. The French government is set to go ahead with energy plans to pave 1,000 kilometers of its country's roads with solar panels. France's energy minister, Ségolène Royal, made the announcement last month, saying she expects tests to begin as soon as this spring. The panels are made by Colas, a subsidiary of French industrial giant Bouygues, and took 5 years to develop. These 7mm thick Wattway solar panels contain photovoltaic cells, which collect solar energy through a thin layer of polycrystalline silicon. The panels will be glued to existing road surfaces and can withstand the passage of heavy goods vehicles. The manufacturers say road surfaces are occupied by vehicles only around 10% of the time, so the panels will get plenty of exposure to the sun. The panels can provide electricity for street lights, street furniture, road signs, and buildings. The manufacturers say 4 meters of solarized road can power one household, and 1 kilometer can produce enough electricity for a town of 5,000 people.
Not to mention, with modern-day wireless energy charging systems, that you could actually, while you're driving down the road, pass over charging coils that would actually put a signal out and help to charge your battery as you're going down the road. So there's all kinds of potential. Now, expense-wise, logically, it's probably going to cost a whole heck of a lot of money. And so if the governments are in charge of that type of technology, you can best believe it's going to cost you when it comes down to energy. See, that's the whole key right there. The power companies, the power industries out there, they have control of the technology. They're the ones that are getting the funding, whether it be from the government or corporate sponsorship or whatever. Doesn't matter. But until the people start realizing that you're going to have to start doing this yourselves and paying attention to the different types of technology, so you don't even have to tap into their grid in order to be able to, you know, generate the same energy necessary to move you from point A to point B or get work done that you want to get done. So it's not just in electricity. This doesn't even scratch the surface of the capabilities with the modern day technology that we have access to. You don't realize how lucky you are right now to be able to just get up here on the internet and start to look up all these different deals. Now, if we can get past the egos of the brilliant out there and see if we can get them together to start making things, we can make things just like that doggone Linux program that open sources their software and all that. You know, like Lubuntu or whatever, you know, you can get this free software instead of having to pay companies like Microsoft or any other ones to get this software, and you can help to build that software. And so it's pretty ingenious how somebody started that plan off, and it works out pretty good. I've got computers that use Lubuntu and different, Linux programs like that. And they work just as good as the others. In some instances, they work better. So that's what we need. We need teams of people to start doing these things, building all these concept ideas, proof of concept, even actually patent them to, ensure that the doggone governments or corporations can't just snatch them out. And then you can focus that money generated into projects that you believe in, and get these doggone projects off the ground, but in the control of the actual people themselves, instead of the power structure that's basically lied to everybody for Lord knows how long. So let's move right along here.
If it reaches its maximum potential, the plan could provide electricity for 5 million people, or about 8% of France's population. The cost of the project is unknown, but the French government has suggested it could pay for it by raising taxes on petrol. Last year, the world's first road to convert sunlight into electricity opened on a 100-meter stretch of carriageway in the Netherlands.
A new way of getting power from the sun. Researchers in Britain have developed a new type of technology that can help buildings to harvest solar power in addition to the power generated by rooftop solar panels. Solar squared glass blocks contain a layer of small solar cells. The intelligent optics of the blocks focus incoming sunlight onto the solar cells when placed vertically. The blocks can be linked and wired to one another, generating power for buildings and electric vehicles, or to be stored in batteries. These blocks can be embedded in conventional construction designs. Tinting can also be added to prevent too much sunlight from entering the building's interior. Researchers say the blocks also offer better thermal insulation than traditional glass building materials. Startup company Build Solar, which developed this project, is looking for test sites for this technology. A finished product is expected to be available next year.
Dutch University aims to use solar panels as highway noise barriers. Eindhoven University of Technology is developing solar panels that could be used to accomplish goals beyond electricity generation, such as acting as noise barriers along highways. A practical test is being run along the Netherlands A2 highway, one of the nation's busiest, near the city of Den Bosch. Sound barriers with incorporated LSCs, or luminescent solar concentrators, can absorb sunlight by using transparent diaplastic sheets which then emit and direct concentrated radiation along solar cells hidden inside the frames. The LSCs can come in a variety of colors, making highways more visually appealing. The current test features only two noise barriers, which measure 4.5 meters high by 5 meters wide. A single kilometer of barriers could generate enough electricity to power 50 households. The two sets of panels will stay alongside the A2 highway until early summer of 2016, as a full year of testing is crucial in order to verify the durability and performance of the panels under all weather conditions.
Quantum dot coating can turn windows into solar panels. Researchers at the Los Alamos National Laboratory in New Mexico have developed a film of quantum dots that can turn windows into photovoltaic systems. When sunlight hits conventional silicon solar panels, electrons break free of the top layer of semiconducting material. The electrons then follow conductors between the positive and negative sides of the panel to generate an electrical current. Quantum dots, which have an inner core, an outer shell, and a silica coat, can be used as semiconductors. Quantum dots can be spread into thin sheets that are placed onto glass window panes. When photons from sunlight hit a quantum dot, it excites the electron in the valence band and sends it into the conduction band, leaving a hole behind. When the electron recombines with the hole in the valence band, a new photon with lower energy is generated. This new photon then propagates within the glass via internal reflections. Energy is generated when the propagating photons reach the window's frame where solar cells are stored. Coatings of quantum dots can be used on any window to turn them into harvesters of sunlight at lower cost than is currently available. Los Alamos-based startup Ubiquitous Quantum Dots has received a $225,000 grant from the National Science Foundation to commercialize this technology as a coating on windows. New solar sunglasses harvest solar power. Researchers in Germany have successfully developed a pair of sunglasses that can generate power. The sunglasses contain organic solar cells, which are flexible and can be made into a variety of shapes and colors. The frames are also equipped with electronics, including a microprocessor, two sensors, and two displays. The solar power captured by the lenses are used to run the electronics, which measure current illumination intensity and ambient temperatures that are displayed on bar graphs. The lenses can generate about 200 milliwatts of excess power, which is enough to run devices such as a step counter, hearing aid, or a small speaker. The solar sunglasses work best in direct sunlight, but they can also work in dimmer lighting environments, such as inside homes or at the office. The researchers say the technology could be applied to the glass facades of high-rise buildings. Such a large surface area would enable the new solar cells to generate significantly more power. North Carolina town fears solar farm will suck up all the sun's energy. A North Carolina town has rejected a proposal to allow a solar farm to be constructed after residents expressed fears the panels would suck away sunlight from the town. Solar companies are looking to the town of Woodland because it's located near an electrical substation where power generated from panels could be fed into the grid. During the public comment period before the rezoning vote was held, town residents voiced their distrust and fear of solar panels. June Mann, a retired Northampton science teacher, is worried that vegetation near the proposed solar panels won't get enough light for photosynthesis. Mann also said she was worried about the high number of cancer deaths in the area, saying no one could tell her that solar panels didn't cause cancer. Bobby Mann said the solar farms would suck up all the energy from the sun and businesses would not come to Woodland. The solar company then attempted to address the council and audience, but that didn't go so well.
Dang.
The council voted 3-1 against the rezoning, and later voted for a moratorium on future solar farms. Endless energy with one coat of paint. Researchers from the Royal Melbourne Institute of Technology have invented a novel new paint that can turn surfaces into a hydrogen power generator. Synthetic molybdenum sulfide is a newly developed compound that absorbs moisture and accelerates the splitting of water molecules. When mixed with titanium oxide in paint, the resulting substance is able to produce hydrogen energy from sunlight and water vapor.
Hydrogen is one of the cleanest sources of energy and can be used to power vehicles and equipment. The solar paint can generate hydrogen energy in remote locations or hot and dry climates, so long as there is sunlight and moisture in the air. Researchers believe it will take at least 5 years to come up with the final product, but they're confident that it will be cheap and accessible. Say no to safe spaces on YouTube. Support Tomo News at patreon.com/tomonews. The world certainly needs more clean and green sources. Solar window blinds can block and harvest sunlight. A California startup has designed window blinds with solar panels that can block out sunlight while harvesting solar energy from it. Each slat in solar window blinds is equipped with monocrystalline solar panels, which can harvest solar energy. The blinds can also track the path of the sun's position and automatically change the angle of the slats to optimize its absorption of sunlight. The company claims the blinds are able to generate up to 100 watt-hours of energy for every square meter when mounted on the outside of a window, or half that amount when mounted inside. Although the slats can automatically change their angles, the blinds can also be manually controlled via an app. The company is hoping to raise $50,000 from Kickstarter in order to mass produce the solar window blinds. This South African airport is powered by the sun. South Africa gets a lot of sun, so much so that the country is investing in solar-powered airports and already has one that's fully operational. George Airport in southern South Africa last year became powered entirely by solar energy. According to AFP, this move lowered its carbon dioxide emissions by more than 1,000 tons. The hub runs on energy garnered by some 2,000 solar panels. These power everything from the ATMs and restaurants to the check-in desk and airport control tower. Excess energy is transferred to nearby homes on a local power grid. South Africa is already working on two other solar-powered airports elsewhere in the country. The airport is Africa's first to run on solar energy alone, and one of only two in the world.
I couldn't care less about carbon emissions. That's a big hockahooey anyway. It doesn't matter. But nonetheless, you just heard a whole lot of examples of different types of technology just in the solar industry alone. You're talking about futuristic style solar capacitors, you know, clear, see-through. They're their own storage bank. They charge up and they pulse instead of doing like the normal solar panel, just producing a current. They just charge up a bank and then allow that energy to jump out there real quick, just like what Tesla was talking about. And they will do it all day long. I got a solar powered fence charger out there on that one project that I call Free Thinkers. And that thing still, to this day, is still producing power. And, you know, even when the battery itself went dead, where it didn't pulse after, you know, after the sun went down, it still constantly pulsed during the daytime. So, you know, with that said, that's a constant source of energy. And by pulsing it the way that I'm doing it, through basically a 6 or 7 foot Tesla coil, I'm sending out a wave that energy transfers right back over, and some of it gets stored back into the same system. So that when you talk about clean, renewable, reusable energy, you're capturing it on the way in, you're capturing it on the way out, and so on. So there's all kinds of potential to that. So I'm going to let this next one here play for a minute while I rush in there and get me a cup of coffee. And listen to this right here.
Tesla has just published its final quarterly earnings report for 2018, recording a profit for the first time in two successive quarters, and last week applied for a new battery cell patent for a two-additive electrolyte lithium-nickel-manganese-cobalt chemistry that would lead to batteries that were capable of charging and discharging far more quickly, have a lower cost, and a longer life.
This all comes on the back of the news that Tesla's Gigafactory in Reno, Nevada has already produced a 500 million cells, as well as Tesla signing a preliminary agreement with a Chinese battery manufacturer to have it supply cells to Tesla for its Gigafactory 3 in Shanghai. In short, Tesla seems well ahead of the game and the competition when it comes to lithium-ion battery cell production, design, and procurement. But on Monday this week, Tesla announced a stock swap acquisition of Maxell Technologies, a San Diego, California company that specializes in ultracapacitors and battery component manufacturing. The deal is estimated to be worth around $218 million, and this is the fifth company that Tesla has acquired in recent years. If Tesla is so far ahead of the game on electric car battery packs, some might ask, what's the purpose of buying a company focused on ultracapacitors? And what's an ultracapacitor anyway? I'm glad you asked, because while I don't have an official statement from Tesla on the matter, I can give you some pretty good guesses on the acquisition and explain what an ultracapacitor is. So let's first remind ourselves of what an ultracapacitor, sometimes called supercapacitor, is. An ultracapacitor is an electronic component that stores electrical energy as an electrical field or charge rather than storing it electrochemically as a traditional battery pack does. They operate on the same basic principle as standard capacitors, which you'll find in everything from TVs to cell phones and computers, but because they're built in a different way to standard capacitors, not going to go into the details of it in this video, they can store a whole lot more energy. Just like capacitors, ultracapacitors are able to charge and discharge really quickly, making them ideal for capturing or delivering large amounts of energy over a short period of time. What they aren't so good at, though, is storing energy for long periods of time, as they have a much higher self-discharge rate when compared to a lithium-ion battery. Self-discharge, for those who are interested, is a term given to the slow loss of charge over time, even if the energy storage device isn't part of an active electrical circuit. That, plus cost, has been one of the reasons why ultracapacitors haven't really been used in electric vehicles all that much. But as nanotechnology has improved and plenty of research has been done to tackle self-discharge, ultracapacitor design has moved on in leaps and bounds. Tesla usually acquires companies it sees an inherent value in, so it's likely that Tesla either wants to use Maxwell's new solid-state technology in future battery packs, because Maxwell also manufactures battery components as well as ultracapacitors, or Tesla is considering using ultracapacitors alongside lithium-ion batteries in future vehicles. This could, of course, improve energy density and longevity of Tesla battery packs, but it could also allow Tesla to use ultracapacitors as a storage buffer when charging, enabling some truly mind-blowingly fast charge times. Second, it could allow Tesla to develop even more powerful vehicles. But obviously, Tesla's high-performance cars are already the fastest things out there, so developing more power to accelerate customer cars seems a little pointless. But in the world of Tesla trucking, the Tesla Semi, where large amounts of power are required whatever the situation, a little extra push from an ultracapacitor could help ensure battery longevity and improve overall range and duty cycles. But there are two other really important facts that you may not know that do require mentioning here. First, Tesla CEO Elon Musk knows ultracapacitors. In fact, he went to university to study them until he dropped out of school to build Zip2 and then X.com, which then merged with Confinity to form PayPal. Back at the 2012 Model S launch event, I remember asking Musk about ultracapacitors, and frankly, his eyes twinkled with nerdy excitement as he explained in depth why ultracapacitors weren't ready at that time for mass market. In other words, while Musk may have not got that degree, he still knows the tech pretty darned well, and if he's had a part to play in the acquisition, which he probably has, it's because he now either sees a value in ultracapacitors or Maxwell's production technology. That final thing? Well, Maxwell's new solid-state battery tech doesn't require the use of cobalt, a metal which Tesla is desperately trying to cut out of its batteries altogether due to the price rise in raw cobalt of late, and big ethical concerns over the way some unscrupulous mine operators employ children in their mines and regularly ignore human rights. So there you have it. Tesla's now about to get into ultracapacitors, and that could make for some very interesting future products from Tesla indeed. That's it. Thanks for watching. Let us know if you liked it or you didn't like it below. Scribble a comment. Hit the notification bell so you don't miss out on a single episode. And if you want to support the show, there are three ways that you can do that in the show notes below. I'll be back soon with another episode. But until then, keep evolving.
All right, so moving right along, Tesla there, he's got some plans, so I'd keep an eye out on them.
What up, Hyperchange? Welcome to another episode. Today we're talking about Tesla and some news that came out this morning about an acquisition of Maxwell Technologies. Tesla had entered into a definitive merger agreement with the San Diego-based battery technology firm Maxwell Technologies, was acquiring them in an all-stock deal valued at $218 million for $4.75 a share, about a 50% premium to the closing price. So this news totally caught me by surprise. I mean, Tesla very rarely makes acquisitions. When they do, it's a big deal, and this specifically, you know, acquisition of a battery technology company could have huge implications. And so my initial research found that this could have very significant implications for the long-term roadmap of Tesla's battery technology and what they have going on there. So I wanted to break all of this down with you and give you a couple theories of what I think is going on and why Tesla bought this company. So but first, a little setback. You know, Tesla is famously a vertically integrated technology company. They do almost everything in-house. This is just a mantra the company has taken with it. I mean, they have the Gigafactory in Nevada where they build all their batteries. They even build their car seats in-house, which is very unusual. So Tesla's a very vertically integrated company. They don't like to outsource almost anything, especially deep technology things. And so for this reason, you know, they very, very rarely make acquisitions. And when they do, it's because they want to acquire a very specialized technology that would, you know, be very expensive or take too long to develop themselves. The last acquisition they made was 2 years ago in 2017. They acquired a Minnesota-based company called Perbix, which made some sort of manufacturing equipment. The acquisition before that was a German engineering firm called Grohmann, which also made this, you know, automated manufacturing equipment to help with their, you know, production lines and basically improve the manufacturing process at Tesla's Gigafactory and at Fremont. And so those have been the previous technology, you know, acquisitions and technologies that Tesla's made. So to see them now by the San Diego battery company out of the blue is fascinating and is a hint that there is a lot going on under the hood at Maxwell Technologies that could have huge value, because, I mean, Tesla doesn't buy something unless they really couldn't build it themselves. So Maxwell Technologies is this company that was trading at $40 a share in the 90s, you know, now it's just around $3 or $4 a share. It's been around since the 60s, it's this legacy, you know, ultracapacitor company. What are they doing that's new and exciting? You know, what's the breakthrough here? It is really what I was looking for. And the first thing I would do whenever, you know, a company like Tesla or an investment you have acquires somebody is immediately go to the investor relations page of that company that was acquired. So that's what I did. Pulled up the investor slide deck that came out about a month ago in January at the Needham conference that Maxwell presented, and we have the overview of their entire business. So recently, Maxwell actually went a divestiture in December to become a pure play on three megatrends in the energy storage market: renewable power generation in the grid, and the electrification of combustion engine vehicles, as well as the rapid growth of battery electric vehicles. So they have essentially pivoted into a pure renewable battery company as of December, when they divested one of their other subsidiaries. What I thought was so interesting in that divestiture press release, Dr. Franz Fink, the CEO of Maxwell, says this action was taken to put the necessary resources in place so Maxwell can better focus on and pursue the tremendous growth opportunities presented by the markets of auto, wind, rail, and grid service by our ultracapacitor technology, as well as to properly support research and development efforts to advance our dry battery electrode DBE technology. This DBE thing is what's really important. It's becoming increasingly clear that our DBE technology holds significant advantages over currently available energy systems for electric vehicles and positions us for significant long-term value creation as a result. So now, essentially, what has happened is, as of December, Maxwell has divested out of all of its businesses to become a purely ultra-capacitor business with a focus on electric vehicles, and behind that, developing this battery, dry battery electrode technology. And apparently before this, during my research, I figured out that I guess all battery electrodes before this, or the status quo, is wet battery electrodes. So their big breakthrough is the dry battery electrode technology, which has all these huge implications for manufacturing electric vehicles. So the slide here on their investor relations site says, okay, so the energy density we can get to, you know, above 300 watt hours per kilogram, demonstrated with a path to get to 500 watt hours per kilogram. They can extend the battery life up to 2x. They can also do a 16x production capacity density increase, 10 to 20% cost reduction. They can do no solvents, next gen materials, cobalt free, solid state. So it sounds like this dry battery electrode technology is a huge breakthrough, and that enables vastly more efficient batteries that can be actually made for an even cheaper price. So way better performance, way cheaper price with this dry battery electrode technology. I pulled up the Q3 2018 Maxwell conference call, which is the last public conference call they had for their quarterly earnings, to see how they were phrasing this, and it sounds like they've been developing this dry battery electrode technology, and it's been sort of a lab project for years, but recently they've been piloting it and experimenting it and validating it with huge partners, and that's why even on this slide, it says a high likelihood of strategic partnerships within 6 months. And if we take a step back, this fits among all the puzzle pieces of the exact pattern of Tesla buying a breakthrough technology. Because what have we heard JB and Elon talk about on so many conference calls? They're constantly analyzing the landscape, monitoring like 10s, 20, 30, 50 battery projects around the world to track breakthroughs and potentially acquire them immediately when they are validated. And so my guess is Tesla was an early customer and trial, sort of tester of this dry battery electrode technology, validated that it worked, and that it could be such a game changer that they could integrate it into their own battery pack technology that they just bought Maxwell outright. And if you believe that theory, there's so much going on under the hood here, because if they bought them for $218 million, so that means the value of this technology to Tesla is worth a lot more than $218 million. And I mean, Maxwell Technology, if you look at their financials, they have like $100 million in revenue run rate, but they're losing a bunch of money. You know, they're losing like $20-30 million a year. It's a money-losing business. They have, you know, customers all around the world. So my guess is Tesla doesn't want any of that. They bought Maxwell Technology almost purely for this breakthrough of the dry battery electrode. But there is another sort of interesting angle to this, and I'm way out of my depth on battery technology here. I'm just doing my best as a Tesla investor to put the pieces together. But if you're anyone who has battery expertise or tech knowledge about this, please leave it in the comments below and correct me, because I'm doing my best. So Maxwell Technology's main business is ultracapacitors. And ultracapacitors are very interesting because they've long been touted as a next-generation technology for electric vehicles, and maybe they are getting ready for prime time, because separately, Maxwell Technologies in May announced this big agreement with Geely, the manufacturer of Volvo, in a $100 million design win to include its ultracapacitor technology into 5 hybrids, and so it looks like that was a validation of ultracapacitors being ready for electric vehicles. And the other interesting thing is Elon Musk famously was going to work on a PhD in ultracapacitors for electric vehicles at Stanford before dropping out to go found Zip2 and then PayPal and becoming an entrepreneur. So Elon Musk, you have so many things swirling right now. So I also found this paper, which is sort
of... I want to pause this just for a second. Let's think about something. Most of your generators out there, gasoline generators, are anywhere from... about anywhere from 5 horsepower, you know, and up, depending on how many watts of power that this generator will actually produce. You know, like a 5,000 watt generator might have a 5 or 6 horse motor on there. Some of them actually got smaller motors, just depending on which ones you've got. But think about this for a second. Those engines, the electric motors that are in the Tesla vehicles, or even any electric vehicle for that matter, if those things have enough torque, enough power to move you down the road as rapidly as possible, you know, using electric technology, battery technology, whatever, and then capacitor technology, Maxwell's, designs and so on down the line. But if you took and understood what I've been trying to point out to everybody, if that doggone vehicle has enough power to turn that car down the road. It also has enough power, enough torque to turn a generator head fully under a load. And so what's that mean? You wouldn't have to have an internal combustion engine to turn that generator head. You could actually do it with electric motor and end up with surplus energy out the other side. Now, I know this is possible. I know 100,000% beyond a shadow of a doubt that it's possible. It's been done. But once this technology's out there in the market, you know, sooner or later, you know, these electric cars, things are going to start failing on them, and they're going to get cheaper and cheaper as far as being able to go out to a salvage yard and buying one that may be wrecked or whatever. The motor's still good in it, but the body's been totaled. And that drivetrain inside there could be a home generating system. And if used properly, you're not going to use that energy like you would in your standard form of how you actually use electricity right now. Like, you know, if I get me a gasoline generator or a diesel generator and I fire that thing up, I plug directly into the system and, you know, that thing has to fight through that load. Well, if it's not having to fight through that load, then that means that thing's going to be able to run longer and it's going to be more efficient. So I'm going to pull that power off that I want. I'm going to send that power as far away from that generator as I can get it, and I'm going to store that power before I ever even use that power. So there's going to be a huge buffer between the output of that generator to where I'm actually drawing that power. That means that that doggone generator could run an extended period of time as opposed to what it would have been doing already driving down the road doing the job that it's been doing. So, I'm telling you, it's coming. They already got the technology available. A lot of these podcasts that I've been playing, these are old podcasts from 2017 and so on down the line. So, you know, that means that, you know, a lot of these things that you're hearing about now on these videos have already occurred, and they're already past that point in the game. And so a lot of these technologies, if you look hard enough, you're going to find them out there on the store shelves, or even, you know, in flea markets and stuff like that. And then you can take those with all a bit of knowledge that we've shared here on Shaziz Radio and Mad Science on YouTube and so on down the line, and put all these things in conjunction with each other and build yourself some energy efficient devices that you can use, you know, around your household. If you're not paying for your lighting at all in your house and you got all the lighting you need day and night, then that means that's a little bit of money in your pocket that you can reinvest to do something else. And so the more of these technologies that you implement, and as far as how I'm explaining how to use energy differently coming out of a wall socket outlet or whatever you want to call it in a more efficient manner, and guiding that energy where you want it to go as opposed to it just bouncing back and forth to the wall outlet and whatever device you're trying to run, causing it to get hot. Everything has a thermal breakdown, and when it fails, then, you know, if you ain't got a breaker system, you start a fire. So that's a lot of energy built up that, you know, you could have guided somewhere else down the line, because that device didn't need near the amount of power that you're trying to push to it. So I'm excited, because, you know, I said that I was going to prove energy was free beyond a shadow of a doubt. And I think we've already done that ad nauseum over and over and over again. But it's until people actually, you know, take these concepts. You heard that one portion of the podcast, the last one that we were playing prior to this one. They were talking about people was actually thinking that the solar panels were going to drain all the energy from the sun. I don't understand where people's mindset is outside of the poor education in the, indoctrination centers that they call schools these days, colleges and, you know, even high schools for that matter, even all the way down to grade school, what they're teaching these kids and young adults out there, it's just pure ridiculousness when it comes to real science. There's no real science being taught in school anymore. You know, when people come out of school believing that the doggone solar panel is going to suck all the energy out of the sun, that's just crazy. And that, and what Tomas said in the chat room about cow farts as well, you know, this just drives me insane. Let's play a little bit more of this.
Explaining the dry electrode coating technology that Maxwell's developed, and we'll just quickly read you the abstract because I think it has something interesting here. In this paper, we report a truly solventless dry battery electrode, DBE, coating technology developed by Maxwell Technologies that can be scalable for classic and advanced battery chemistry, unlike conventional slurry cast wet coated electrode. Maxwell's DBE offers significantly high loading and produces a thick electrode that allows for high energy density cells without compromising physical properties and electrochemical performance. Maxwell's DBE exhibits better discharge capability than those of wet-coated electrode. Maxwell's demonstrated scalability by producing robust self-supporting dry-coated electron film in roll form with excellent long-term electrochemical cycle performance. So this is basically describing how these dry-coated electrode batteries are so much better performing. They have all these cool pictures. I'm going to post the link to this in the description. They compare it to the wet-coated cathodes. The other big thing here is the cycle performance. The number of cycles the batteries can last is apparently much better as well with this dry cathode technology. Anyway, now you might be adding to, like, what does this add up to? What is the big breakthrough here? How does this change, you know, Tesla's product lines? How do we get from science experiment to something that matters to consumers? So this tweet from Scott Wehner, who follows me on Twitter, explains this watt-hour to kilogram statistic that is in the slide. And I don't know if this is accurate at all. I'm just basing this on the tweet and based on other stuff that I've read that seems to imply this is about right. So please comment. He says, congrats to Tesla on their exciting acquisition of Maxwell. Dry battery has huge implications for improving storage density from 168 watt-hours per kilogram, which I'm assuming he thinks is what Tesla's at today, to 300 to 500 watt-hours a kilogram, reducing manufacturing costs 10 to 20%, and getting off of cobalt completely. So, and then he says, for reference, 500 watt-hours per kilogram could give the Model 3 a 900-mile range. I'm sure they won't do that because that's nutty. They just put a smaller pack in a car for less cost per car and lower weight, but maybe they'll offer a big pack boss option. So, anyway, that just sums up a lot of technical jargon for if Scott Wehner's right, or he's even, you know, in the right direction with his analysis. This dry battery electrode technology, once it gets put into consumer cars, means that we could have vastly more efficient battery pack and cell designs from Tesla, which means vastly longer range, potentially vastly faster charging, potentially faster, you know, better cycles on the battery so they last longer as well. I mean, this is a fundamental breakthrough that could mean, you know, we have 400, 500 mile EVs with much cheaper batteries that are much more longer lasting. I mean, this is the fundamental breakthrough that almost seems like it will make, you know, Tesla's famous for wanting to make the electric vehicle with no compromises to the internal combustion engine, but right now there still are some compromises. I mean, the Model S maxed out and go 330 miles. Any other, you know, large luxury premium sedan could probably go 500 miles on a single tank. So this technology to get EVs to 500 miles at a cost, you know, at a cost that can be compelling for them to make a profit is a huge, huge deal. Love to get any insight from any people who understand the tech better than me, because I'm trying to learn as much about this as I can. But my take on this is Tesla very rarely makes acquisitions. When they do, it's because they've done their homework. This is a real technological breakthrough that they could not develop in-house that is worth hundreds of millions of dollars. My guess is Tesla's going to acquire Maxwell, cut out almost all contracts with outside customers, strip the company of everything that's going on besides the ultra-capacitor technology and this dry battery electrode technology, and then they're immediately going to start R&Ding on how to integrate these breakthroughs into Tesla's cars and energy storage products. Anyway, that wraps up this episode. Tesla's acquired Maxwell Technologies for $218 million stock deal. This could result in the next fundamental battery breakthrough for electric vehicle technologies, and now Tesla is the owner of this intellectual property. This is incredibly exciting stuff. This makes me, you know, I always think Tesla is years ahead in terms of battery technology, and this, by acquiring Maxwell Technologies and potentially having sole access to this next dry battery electrode breakthrough, could have huge implications on the cost and performance of Tesla's products I think this is really exciting stuff. So anyway, would love to know what you think in the comments below. This is HyperChange. Huge shout out to all of our Patreon supporters and producers funding the channel. Thank you so much. I'll see you guys next time. Peace.
So, Tesla's already up on it. Let's hear what the top 10...
Wiki.easybid.com. Search EasyBid Wiki before you decide. EasyBid presents the 10 best deep cycle solar batteries. Let's get started with the list. Starting off our list at number 10, consisting of four LFP cells in series, the Gaudi 200 ampere hour offers quite a bit more available energy than much of the competition. It claims a 25-year total lifespan, although that's only when kept at a float charge rather than being repeatedly drained. It's lighter than most and offers a high performance-to-weight ratio. However, it is one of the most expensive, too. At number 9, considerably smaller and lighter than most, the Mighty Max ML35 is aimed at specialty uses such as uninterruptible power supplies and mobile solar panels. In addition, it remains just about as effective at unusually high and low temperatures. It won't expel fumes or spill chemicals and is shock and vibration resistant, but its total energy storage is low. Coming in at number 8 on the list, with roughly 40 ampere hours at 10.8 volts, the Goal Zero Yeti is designed to provide plenty of electricity, even when you're on the move. Equipped with a pure sine wave inverter, it produces current that's safe for high-tech electronics, like smartphones and medical devices. It's equipped with three USB quick charge outputs and a comprehensive LCD screen. However, this one's not intended for residential setups. Our newest choices can only be seen at wiki.easybid.com. Go there now and search for Deep Cycle Solar Batteries, or simply click beneath this video. At number 7, fiberglass mats soak up the sulfuric acid inside the Renogy AGM, ensuring that it's not only safe, but also quite operable at low temperatures. The largest version is highly popular among motorhome owners, though it is bigger than a majority of alternatives. It lasts for 600 cycles with proper use and is moderately priced for a 200 ampere hour model, but it is rather sensitive to over-discharging. Moving up our list to number 6. Offering a higher capacity than most readily available consumer-grade models, the Mighty Max ML4D boasts 200 total amp hours, roughly half of which can be used before it needs more juice. Its AGM construction means it won't require any maintenance throughout its life. It uses a calcium alloy electrode grid and gives off no fumes whatsoever. However, it is especially large and heavy. Offering up our list at number 5. The 125 ampere hour VMAX Tanks SLR sports a slightly higher capacity than most, and it won't degrade for up to 10 years when used in standby mode. The absorbent glass matrix inside it makes it world safer than old school flooded type cells. It boasts 3 to 4 years of cyclical operation, a military grade alloy plating, and an above average depth of discharge. At number 4, among the most reliable as well as costly, the Battleborn 1002 can withstand a whopping 3,000 to 5,000 full cycles when refueled at the typical 14.5 volts. The company very much stands behind it, offering a full replacement within as long as an 8-year period. It features a 200 amp surge output and standard Group 27 dimensions. It's a drop-in lead-acid alternative. Nearing the top of our list at number 3. Thanks to its advanced technology, the top-of-the-line Renogy LFP boasts up to 135 usable amp hours, far more than traditional formulations. Plus, it's packed with safety features, including protection from extreme voltage and current spikes. It features built-in short-circuit shut-off capabilities, and is both remarkably well-regulated and incredibly long-lasting. Our newest choices can only be seen at wiki.easybid.com. Go there now and search for Deep Cycle Solar Batteries, or simply click beneath this video. At number 2, among the most advanced selections, the Orion Power Cordy consists of 4 individual cells that use cutting-edge lithium-based electrodes. These incredibly safe components offer output consistency that older technology can't quite match. It's operable from 9 to 15 volts and features an exceptional lifespan, along with a lower long-term cost than many. and coming in at number one on our list. Commonly seen in residential systems, the Universal UB12100 has a nominal capacity of 1.2 kilowatt hours. At less than $200, it's one of the most cost-effective options and can last up to 5 years depending on use. It's completely spill-proof and can be mounted in any position. It's backed by a 1-year warranty. Our newest choices can only be seen at wiki.easybid.com. Go there now and search for Deep Cycle Solar Batteries, or simply click beneath this video.
Okay, so batteries as opposed to capacitor technology. You don't have to go either one or, but basically go use both. See, the thing about it is, batteries have their place in how we actually use energy. And capacitors have their place in how we actually use energy. A lot of people in the solar power are actually figuring out that if they put capacitors between the battery and the inverters, that they help those inverters run more efficiently and they help the battery stay cooler. And that's the whole key about anything that you're wanting to use energy, because anytime you're using energy, you do generate some sort of heat because of the amount of current that you're putting through there and the resistance that it's got to, you know, fight through to get through there. But if you change that energy to a completely different form of energy and then, you know, basically speed it up, ramp the voltage up, drop the current down, you can still move that battery or that energy rapidly and keep those batteries fully topped off at all times. And so essentially the battery itself doesn't become the main driving force. It actually becomes the backup power. So, Scotty Sovereign said, I got a 5-hour drive in front of me, Shaz. So I got, you have a safe trip, my friend. Glad to have you here. Just make it back safe. Peace and love and all that. So anyway, there's a lot of technology that's already available. And you understand what this technology is good for, and you can look past what the standard use or model, whatever they're trying to say that this is what this thing can do. I'm telling you that those batteries, storage-wise, the capacitor technology, the transmitter technology for wireless energy, all these things in conjunction with each other, the solar panels, even wind turbines. If you take in, you combine wind turbines with solar powers. I've got a little toy model electric car that has a little solar panel on there, and in direct sunlight, this thing drive across the surface that you put it on, and it's basically got no batteries in it at all. It's just one solar panel. So direct sunlight, it'll sit there and run that. If you can be scaled up, it can be scaled down, vice versa. So that means you have the technology literally to build an electric vehicle that in direct sunlight would, you know, get you down the road. And then to improve upon that, lightweight and all that, using capacitor technology and even modern day solar technology, you can build that vehicle to not only get you down the road, but get you down the road in style a lot faster than it would have otherwise, you know, with the standard model. See, electric cars have been around for a long time, and they used to be really heavy because the majority of that electric car was battery weight. And so that battery weight, you know, is a hindrance to how far you can actually travel on that. Tesla's, he's cornering the market as far as ingenuity, as far as getting his cars to not only look nice, but to move down the road really fast and get you for a long distance. And they're actually working on making extended run times as far as the vehicle being able to in between charges get from one place to the next. But what I'm saying, and what I've been saying, there's no reason why you can't get that car to charge itself with everything that's going on out there Everything from static electricity to wind power to the vibration of this thing going down the road. The shock absorbers would be putting power back into the system. The temperature outside, if it's hot in your area, using thermoelectrics, if there's any kind of temperature difference whatsoever from the inside of the car to the outside of the car, the doggone Peltier style elements out there would take that temperature difference and actually put juice back into the system. The drag of the wind going down through there, turning little mini turbines or whatever, but imagine a wind turbine that had a solar panel on it that even though the wind wasn't blowing, it would constantly keep this blade to turning. Number one, that means that in lower wind, that thing would be able to keep, get the blade, up to speed faster. And then if you're not trying to pull that power off of it like you would the standard model where you're trying to pull it off direct, which causes that to slow down because now you got to have a hard, heavier wind in order to keep it turning. And if you take and pull that power off in a different fashion, let that thing free spin and change, instead of trying to pull current from that, pull a massive amount of voltage off of that. That voltage is pressure that doesn't meet the same exact resistance as the doggone current that you're trying to shove into a battery or storage bank of any type. And so if you take and allow that thing to just basically spin, free spin in there and pull that energy off, allow it to flow freely. Don't force it to work any harder than it has to. And so now you still have the same amount of energy, you still have the same type of energy, you haven't lost anything, and that energy is able to travel a smoother path without all the resistance, which means you're not going to build up the heat that would have otherwise been pushed into those coils or the transformers or whatever, because now you're using that voltage just to move the electron flow down the road to charge things up, that voltage pressure. You're not using a lot of current at this stage in the game. You can always ramp the current back up. That's not the hard part. See, that's one of the biggest criticisms that I keep getting on my YouTube when I try to show people these anomalies, is that, I can't ruin my house with that. Well, no, of course you can't run your house with that. Your house isn't designed to run like that. But you can re-engineer the way that you use that energy output in order to be able to run your entire house off of that. So, one little small solar panel, according to those other people that did the one video I played the podcast to, would be able to run your doggone entire house. Now, that's pretty impressive. You know, there's all kinds of technology that's been around for a long time. According to NASA, they was able to send that probe clear to Pluto and be able to produce thermoelectrics in excess of 200 watts after 9 years through deep dark space and transmit a signal all the way back. So I'm telling you, you've already had free energy. The system just isn't going to give it to you. That's why you got to get out there and take it. Flat out, don't ask the big daddy government or corporation for permission. All these people out there complaining all the time about everything that's gone wrong as far as how expensive everything is getting in the energy industry is because we've allowed the energy industry to run amok. Constantly run amok. We pay for the equipment via our finances that we give to actually use the electricity, and the extra taxes that, in turn some of that gets funneled back to the same industry. So the governments are making out like a bandit, the companies are making out like a bandit, the energy industry is making out like a bandit, and the average Joe's happen to work an extra job just to pay the doggone electric bill. So if you take advantage of this time in history right now, and you can gather up your, what I like to call the dream team, and get these people together and go out and pick up all these different technologies, put them together, the pieces of the puzzle necessary to resolve the so-called energy crisis that never even existed. You can turn an internal combustion engine into a combination hybrid electric that basically the electricity portion of it isn't to run an electric motor. What it is doing is actually transferring different types of, like for example, the water engine, hydrogen technology, transferring that water into a fuel source that now that engine could actually run off of. It's not beyond the realms of possibility. These engines weren't specifically engineered to run off of water. Even though water has all three things necessary to quite literally start a fire. You know, they have it has oxygen, it has a fuel source, and it has an ignition source, all built in the same molecule. It's amazing what water can do. Stan Myers back in the 70s was driving around in a dune buggy using hydrogen technology. There are other people out there who figured out that they could use radio waves to quite literally burn water on demand. And the guy even says in his video, I'll sell out to the first oil company that wants to buy it because what I'm trying to do is other type of research. So if they were going to buy this, they could fund my research. He probably got funded. They probably shelved that technology. But Stan Myers' technology still exists out there. It's still there. And if you listen to anything that we've been saying all these years about how Stan Myers was injecting, water into the doggone cylinders and stuff, it's not science fiction, it's science fact, because they still, to this day, use water injection in so many different applications, from aviation to, racing and stuff. Water's powerful. It's an amazing power source. You could pick up your fuel on the way down the road, and if you understand what's in that water, even if it's something that the industry put up in the air, that you got this kind of like acidic water, look up how a lead acid battery works. Look up how chemical batteries work, period. The water in itself has impurities because of all the crud floating around out there. And so it turns out to be, able to push out, electricity. So it's everywhere. All this technology, it's not something new. It's not even rocket science. It's taking what already existed, put them in the right, configuration, and you got clean, renewable, alternative energy sources. So I don't know why the government ain't out there trying to, I do know why, but, and I'm sure you do as well, why it hasn't been mainstream already. All these people out there talking about we got to save the planet and carbon emissions, and then out of the other side of their neck talking about how we're going to drain the sun's power, that sun's been doing what it's been doing for, even the laws of physics say energy can neither be created nor destroyed, so where in the heck's it going? So that's what I'm trying to say. It doesn't matter what you do. If you burn firewood, you still get more chemistry that's actually going to get recycled back into the system, and it's going to end up growing more firewood, so you can't even get rid of anything on this planet. You can't do it. Whatever you think this place is that we live on, you can't get rid of nothing. You may take this chemical and mix it with that chemical and you burn it, it looks like it's gone. It ain't gone. You just produce more of something else. You just change the chemistry. You just change the makeup of it. You didn't do anything to it. You didn't destroy it. It's not gone. You're not going to run out of water. You're not going to run out of what they like to call fossil fuel, even though there ain't no such thing as fossil fuel. You're not going to run out of anything. Alright, it's just being moved from one place to the next. You're using, the energy released from whatever, reaction that you created, and you're getting work done out of it. That's as simple as that. But, these folks, I don't know why it is that the education system decided it had to fail humanity, but we should have already been so far advanced right now that, we wouldn't be hearing all these different, these crazy things like carbon taxes and global warming and climate change and climate disruption or whatever it's going to be next week when the math don't add up. I'm telling you, you have everything you need right now. And when the world's ready to stand up and pay attention to details, then they're going to find out that that's where the freedom's going to come. Because you're not going to get it via any doggone government. You're not going to get it via any corporation, especially if they're trying to sell you energy. Why are they going to give you something free if they want to sell it to you? They're not going to do it. But once you understand what's happening with that energy, how that energy is traveling, that it can be stored, doesn't matter whether it's heat, water pressure, whatever, it doesn't matter. All of it is energy. You're surrounded in a sea of free energy. There ain't no ifs, ands, or buts, and all the debunkers out there can mouth off until their eyes are crooked. They're not going to convince me that I'm not saying the truth. It's a flat-out truth. You have every bit of energy around you that you could possibly imagine, and then some. There's enough energy on this planet to run the entire, every single light bulb, every single electric vehicle, every single electrical appliance for the next 20 trillion, trillion, quadrillion, whatever the highest number you could, to infinity and beyond, and never run out of anything. So it's amazing, the whole entire system, if you understand how it's mechanically functioning. We already got it, and we're sitting around waiting for this holy grail electrical device when you don't need it. You don't need no perpetual motion, even though, according to physics, you know, they say perpetual motion's impossible in a closed-loop system. Well, there's your key right there, closed-loop. Don't talk about no closed-loop. Do like that Free Thinkers video where I took and pulled energy in from every single direction under the sun, including the sun. Static electricity, negative ion generating, solar power, wind power, everything from a galvanic action, all these different places where that energy can be funneled in to not only AC capacitors, but DC capacitors. Use old bad batteries as capacitors because they're bone dry. However, they still have a plate, the negative and a positive plate, and the dielectric in between them now is the atmosphere that takes a whole lot more voltage to break down. So that means it will charge just like any other capacitor, and it would have to really seriously get thousands of volts going on in that battery before the doggone thing could ever even short out. Look how powerful these capacitors are. Man, I got some 10 farad capacitors, right? The car audio capacitors that have 500,000 microfarads to them. Those things, those are powerful things. An 800 microfarad capacitor will blow your thumb right off your hand. That's how much stored energy can be put in there. And you can store it up with static electricity. You can charge it up. You can charge it up with voltage alone. You don't need no current in order to charge a capacitor. But that stored power inside that, and guided on down the line to the modern day ultra capacitors that work more like batteries than they do capacitors, are still able to absorb that power, and now you got your current back that's required to run the load that you wanted to run to begin with. So you didn't do anything but change it, speed it up, slow it down to whatever it needed to be, and using timing circuits like 555 timers and MOSFETs and transistors and all these different cool techs that we got available, you can speed it up, slow it down, set it at any frequency you want, and all you did was take what otherwise been classified as junk energy, and it turned it right in back into usable power to quite literally run your house. So with this new technology coming out for solar panels, that's why I'm saying right now, you will see solar capacitors. No ifs, ands, or buts. If you look at capacitor technology using graphene, and you listen to what they said on them podcasts about how, you know, you're using graphene technologies to make these solar panels more efficient, and then the fact that these materials, when they're stretched out, you know, and they're durable, and, you know, basically can be formed in all different types of shapes, you can get these solar panels to go around anything. They put them in sunglasses, for Pete's sake. So, there you go. You know, solar capacitors, in some people's mind, might not make very much sense right now. The solar panel itself is actually the storage bank. And with the way that, you know, that happens, even after the sun goes down, you still got power stored in that bank, you know, and you can ship that power down to where you want it. Everything from the wind to the rain to temperature outside can be a factor in keeping that thing fully charged 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. The old doggone wind turbine up there and send power right into the same exact system. So now you got your wind turbines actually connected to your solar panels because they're helping that solar panel keep those capacitor banks completely filled up. And those then in turn bleed off into ultra capacitors that then in turn bleed down into your standard type of battery and then back over to another capacitor system to act as a buffer in between your output of your power source to your input of whatever device it is you're wanting to run. So that thing will run so incredibly efficient, it'd be ridiculous. So I'm saying, what are we waiting for? What are we waiting for? You got all these scare tactics after talking about how, you know, we're going to, the Earth is going to be doomed in 12 years, and one guy, I guess he changed it down to 10 years. So, time's running out, right? Nuclear industry, big scam. Oil industry, big scam. Electric industry, big scam. Any and all energy industries out there are a big scam. You have the science, you have the technology, you have the proven physics that if you listen to what I'm trying to say to everybody, what I've been trying to tell everybody for a long time, I've met a lot of mocking and ridiculing and been told how stupid I am. Don't want to, it won't work, and everybody trying to re-engineer everything that comes out of my mouth. Stop trying to re-engineer it. Try it before you deny it, and you might well find out it did just exactly what I said it would, because it was based on real science, real physics. Ain't no hoodoo voodoo version of it. You don't have to love your reactor in order to get the doggone thing to generate the power that you want. You don't have to corrode the wiring in your system, in your housing, in order to, you know, make this more basically just like superconductors. Don't have to turn your house into a superconductor. You know, you could actually turn your entire house and everything that happens to your entire house on a regular basis, you turn your entire house into the generator. Yeah, Elon Musk is selling doggone roofing tiles with built-in solar. And if he's smart, he'll not only add built-in solar, but he'll add built-in thermal for, you know, heating up your water. So now your water heater that normally would have to kick on at 1,500 watts or higher, depending on how long your, large your hot water heater is or how large your elements are inside there, that thing would never even have to kick on. You could store enough energy using basically what they do in thermoses into that hot water heater. Until you use that hot water, it's still there. And only time it ever have to kick on is whenever, you know, the sun was down and nothing was going on and you needed to add to the heat. I've proven that in my redneck hot tub video, that with a 110 coffee pot element, I was able to heat that water up, even though there is no insulation under the tub, beside the tub, around the tub, over the top of the tub, open to the air, able to heat that water up. Took 4 hours to get up to operating temperature. From that point on, all I needed to do is keep the little power going to supplement and keep that energy moving inside that doggone hot tub. And that's it. And then, so, with that said, You even had the point where you had to shut it off. You had to shut it off because if you didn't, it would get too hot. It looked like Stephen Gibbs says, I'm back and recharged after a holiday. I'm glad you had a wonderful time there, Stephen. I hope you are well. Yeah, I'm doing fine. I just got back in time for the last hour of the show. Cool. We're having an exciting show today. Solar capacitors is what I'm talking about. You're going to see that technology. Mark my words, it's coming. And once that's on the market, that's a game changer. There ain't no one out there who can ever say again that there ain't no such thing as free energy. You know, with that, that's just one little tiny, doesn't even scratch the surface. The amount of power that those solar panels would be capable of storing, and the coolness of the fact that this thing can actually be, you know, clear enough to use as a window, you know, see-through. And then if you want to maximize that efficiency, you use some older technology such as the two-way mirror technology to trap that light down inside there so it's bouncing around even longer. You got light comes in one, you can see in one way, but you can't see it. Or you can see out. How's that go? They used them in security, like they'd have this room and it'd have a mirror and you'd be up there combing your hair in the mirror. You couldn't tell that there was somebody on the other side of that who could see you combing your hair in the mirror. I guess it was in case you were shoplifting or something like that. They'd see you do it. It's kind of creepy, somebody watching you comb your hair, but anyway. That technology's been around for a while. We got the materials, we got the knowledge, we got the physics, we got the science. The only thing we need now is to get the average Joe on board to start building things using everything that we've learned. That's it. That's all we're missing. We're just missing the people. You know, if I got a dollar in my pocket and I put it with your dollar, we can get $2 worth of work done. You know? But if we try to go it alone, it's rough. You know, like all these projects that I want. I would like to get these projects out on a regular basis, but I simply can't afford to do it. I can't do it. It's just everything is so doggone expensive. And then whenever you want something custom done, of course you got to pay for labor. And nowadays, people want to charge you an astronomical amount of money just to do something that probably if you knew how to do it or had the tools to do it, you could do it on the cheap. But I can't. So with my neodymium magnet accelerator, that was a pretty expensive project just to get one working prototype that has, you know, the flaw in there from where they had cut these doggone things and then, you know, coupled them together with a couple, you know, loops or whatever. And so you'll hear that thing knocking around in there. It needs to be a smooth running deal. But, you know, in order for me to do that, I got to build a vacuum forming table and get the acrylic sheets and then form two separate ones with a smooth track so this thing can go around there smoother. The implications of what this thing is capable of doing haven't even been able to show yet because I got to do some other things to it. This is just the bare bones prototype, just as well as the other generator that I'm trying to show people. But once again, you know, I need a vacuum forming table to actually be able to make the deal to hold the coils in the other generator so that when I pour the clear acrylic resin, because I'm building this generator so you can see inside of it. I want you to understand exactly what's going on to be able to mechanically see the reactions that's happening inside that device. And so that's why I'm doing them clear. Don't have to be clear. I mean, once the concept's proven, you guys and gals out there can 3D print the exact same thing with black material. You don't have to know or see inside there. You already know how it works. And so with that said, it'd be easier for, you know, somebody to do one where you can't see inside of it. But nonetheless, taking that concept and this concept over there and that one, you got storage, you got generation, you got a different way to use the power. And so now you got every single aspect of what they claimed they needed. You got the clean, renewable, alternative energy source readily available waiting for anybody to take it and run with it. That's it. I've done my job. As far as I'm concerned, I have successfully done my job. I did exactly what it is that I said I was going to do. Now I'm waiting for people to take note. You know, and if they decide they want to try to do this, everything is right there in front of them for free. The information, I'm sitting there spewing it out on a regular basis, idea after idea. If you want it, it's here. You know, and it's there. It's all over the place. Stephen Gibbons, who just came back from vacation, I'm glad he had a great holiday, he put a resource link. If you go up to the top of the Shaziz Super Chat Room, click on that resource page. He's got link after link after link of researchers and research projects and alternative energy that we've been, researching for years. And he's compiled it into one easy space for you to find it. So, if you ain't willing to take the time to click on that button, then you're going to miss out on, amazing job that he did. I mean, it's just, to me, it's mind-blowing. But, we're just getting started here. That's it. I've got everything that I need to build the devices that I want, with the exception of the actual plasma reactor that I want to build. Basically, plasma water heater. And it has some technicalities that need to be overcame on how to actually mix glass with metal to the extent where, when you're heating the glass up and you're trying to put parts inside that are metal, because of the differences in melting temperature, you got to find a cheap enough way to, have this manufactured. Once again, that device itself doesn't have to be made so that you can see through it. But I'm trying to build teachable prototypes so that you can see inside there. And you can physically, with your eyes, see what's actually occurring inside there so that you understand exactly what's going on. It's no hoodoo, voodoo version of some sort of quantum physics that you got to try to wrap your head around. You can physically see, for every action is an equal and opposite reaction, and this is why this is doing what it's doing, and it makes perfect sense to the average Joe. This is why I've been going through the process that I've been doing. This is why I've been doing, when I do live streams, I want you to be able to see exactly what's going on. And if people stop beating me up over terminology, which I'm sure they're never going to, because people want to basically assert their power, over you because they got more knowledge than you or whatever. Anybody can quote the school book, It's not some sort of special talent to be able to quote the school book. What the special talent comes in is whenever you're able to look outside the box, outside the school book, and see how far potentially you could take these new designs. And even old designs. Repurpose it. I look at something, I don't look at just what it does, I look at other future potentials of it in storage or energy generation or even mechanical uses for things that, that wasn't their intended purpose to begin with. So you weren't intended on using an old washing machine motor for a generator. And then whenever you try to take that generator and realize that you're putting out a higher frequency, higher voltage, and you're trying to figure out how you can rewire this deal in order to be able to use that as a generator, and I'm sitting there telling you, you don't have to rewire it. You don't have to re-engineer it. You allow it to do exactly what it does, put out the same doggone frequency, and then you can take that energy, that high voltage, you can store that power, slow it down, put it to whatever frequency range you want, and still be able to get out real-time power. Then they say you can't get out more than you ever put in. Oh, who cares? Who cares as long as it does the job? So, if I got an old washing machine motor connected to a wind turbine blade, and that thing's putting out voltage alone, really high voltage, but it won't put out enough current, then, you know, I can't run my house with it, is what they say. Well, that's because you're not listening to what I'm saying. You can run your house with it, but you can't run it direct like you would a standard generator. You got to take that power, store that power, pressurize it, and allow that power to work differently so that you can bring it back down to what you would classify as usable power again. So it don't matter even if it's in the millivolt range, you can still store that energy. And you can take and build that energy up, and then you can tell that energy when to charge and when to discharge. You can basically trip the circuit, let all that energy fly out in one shot in a big old powerful punch, and charge a larger bank. So, if you got one little system that's putting a trickle charge in it, and you got multiples of that one little system that are putting trickle charges in it, then all that power is adding up. It's adding back to the current again. So, you haven't lost nothing. And if you paid attention, then you gained something. So, you know, I'm excited about today's technology. I'm excited about the fact that they're going to accidentally, inadvertently, however, put it out there on the market and prove exactly what I've been saying all along. You know, there's a lot of these different things that you heard in there that I already had concepts in my mind about them before I ever even heard anybody talking about it. And to me, it was verification that I knew what I was talking about when I said this is possible. And so, that's what, you know, you're going to see it happen. This world's going to get clean, renewable, alternative, free energy, regardless of whether the elitists of the world want to or not. It's going to happen. It's probably already happened. People just ain't stumbled onto the right configuration of what's already existing on the shelves. But the biggest deal is they're going to want to keep all energy under the control. Heck, to try to sell you rainwater for that matter. Try to find you if you try to collect rainwater. Even though the earth is 3/4 covered in water, they want to try to give you a fine or maybe even throw you in jail for collecting rainwater. Seriously? It ain't like we're ever going to run out of water because it's not possible. It's not physically possible. According to their own physics, it's not physically possible. But you don't hear it. We're going to run out of water. We're all going to die of thirst. If you're standing next to the ocean and you die of thirst, you didn't pay attention in science class. That's for doggone sure. So, and you definitely didn't pay attention to mad science. There's no chemical that exists on this world, no element that exists on this world that we're ever, ever, ever going to run out of. No ifs, ands, or buts. Everything gets changed, recycles, the chemical, the structure, all of it gets recycled. We live in a perfectly self-contained biosphere of epic proportions. We have more energy than we could use in forever lifetimes. And when people get that through their head and they start working in perfect harmony with nature, they'll stop complaining about polluting the oceans and killing off the wildlife. See, the only issue we got is we can make ourselves extinct and we can make wildlife extinct. And, you know, if nature is what, science is trying to tell everybody about evolution and all that, then all the chemistry is here to put it all back together again. It might be another billion years and there'll be other things that come back just like they did before. You may see a time in future history when there's dinosaurs walking the land or whatever. Don't matter. And, you know, even science out there doing all kinds of genetically modifying this and that and all of whatever, trying to build super bugs, and then they might succeed. They might kill off humanity, and then, you know, what do we do? We start all over again. Somehow or another, we keep getting back to the same crossroads, and we keep making the same doggone left turn, and it's the wrong turn instead of making the right turn. We just keep on repeating and running everything. But I'm saying if you're standing here right now and you're listening to words coming out of my mouth, we have the capabilities the possibilities to literally fix every single problem under the sun. If you can get people to listen. If you can get them off the doggone couch. If you're tired of being sick, then stop being sick. Because you got everything you need to not be sick. You got to stop listening to the butchers in the doggone medical industry that would rather radiate your immune system into oblivion than to try to make you healthy. There ain't no reason to cure the common cold if you want to sell people cold medicine. You want to sell them radiation drugs, chemo drugs, and all that? Well, then you better not make them, cancer free. I don't get it. I just don't get it. Well, I do, but I don't. The part that I don't get is why the average Joe can't get their act together and stop relying on a system that does not have your best interest at heart. They don't. They want to make money off of you, and that's exactly what they do. They make money off of you. And so, you know, then we got what we got. We got wars out there for resources. Resources, gold, diamonds, all that. People want to make money, so they go out and rob and kill and loot and pillage. The only ones that can fix this is the average Joe, the average Jane. You're the only hope for this world. And it ain't going to come from protesting. It ain't going to come from going up there lobbying your Congress. It ain't going to come from that. It's going to come from whenever you decide to take your resources and put them with your neighbor's resources and fix the problems that exist. That's it. You're giving all your money to the government. The government's acting as a middleman between you and the solution. And they're failing miserably. And the corporations out there don't care, because when there's trials and tribulations, there's a dollar sign behind it. There's money to be made. And if you, the person who really cares, want to get doggone problems solved, and you got other like-minded individuals that want to do the same, you don't ask for permission. You don't wait around for somebody else to do it for you. You take all this knowledge that we've acquired and you put it into action. We've given solution after solution after solution on these radio shows for years now. We've had to fight through everything from censorship, everything to suppression, to trolls, to people constantly telling us how stupid we are. We've even had people who supposedly on our own team who destroyed the Dream Team because they couldn't get past the school books. They wanted to argue over terminology. They wanted their ego to be caressed. I'm not looking for my ego to be caressed. I'm not looking to be politically correct terminology. Forget it. I'm not looking to be politically or school book correct. I want to explain in simple English what is mechanically going on in any given system so that everybody can understand, regardless of their educational background. I'm not trying to match the school book. So when I talk about I don't care about current watts and amps, I'm serious. I don't care about current watts and amps. Because the systems that I was working on at that particular time, when that feud went down, and I even got basically threatened with my life over the doggone deal from some knucklehead that just heard second hand or third hand something that somebody lied about to me. About me, to them, said I should be executed. I even did a video about it. But nonetheless, those are the kind of things that we had to deal with. Because somebody wanted to basically shove the school book in my face. And I'm saying, I don't care about current watts and amps because the project that I'm working on does not require current watts and amps in order to do what it is that I'm doing. And different types of materials or different types of functions for different types of uses or whatever, there are terminologies out there that are a hindrance because most folks don't understand what the heck's coming out of your mouth when you talk like that. If you explain electricity like you explain water pressure, it's understandable. You know, you put your finger over the garden hose, it ramps the pressure up and lowers the current volume down. Same thing with electricity. But we had people in our own midst who were supposedly part of the team that helped to destroy something good that was going on. We've seen network after network fail from infighting to people who got their feelings hurt because somebody didn't want to comply to their way of thinking. And it's a shame. Because what we've got going on here with all these people that gather around to listen to the Mad Science Show or Knights of Round Table or any of the other shows on People for People Radio and all that, because they have a political view or some other view, they get frustrated because nobody's seeing it the way that they want them to see it. Well, the same thing applies in everything to do with alternative energy, alternative medicine, and so on down the line. Everybody has to be right. Nobody can be wrong, and it frustrates them all. When if we're all in it together, like we said we were, then we find out what works and what doesn't work, and we make it so. We make it so it works. That's it. It's as simple as that. Now we need to spread that concept out to the entire world. Not to the governments, not to the corporations or any of the other energy industries, but to one another to show, look, hey, there's a generator right there. Let's see how far we can actually push this generator. You know, there's guys out there like Gerard Morne who, curses like a sailor like you wouldn't believe because he's so angry and frustrated because people won't listen to what the heck he's trying to share with them. He's trying to give you the answer. And at the same time trying to figure out a way to fund his own research because it's expensive to do what he's trying to do. But if everybody gathered together and you took a few pennies out of your pocket and put it into somebody you trust's pocket and they go out and buy the stuff and everybody does that, then you've got all these combined resources, all the combined knowledge, and the research capability what we've got here is incredible because if you're not sure about a particular material, there are chemists out there that we know, there are machinists and all these different people. You can get them on board with what we're talking about to actually try it before you deny it, build it and see what's wrong. And even if you build it and there's some sort of flaw in the system, know that you can keep that doggone thing and work on that flaw, and eventually you'll resolve that flaw and make it work. It's that simple. And that's what I've been trying to do. I've been trying to grab the brilliant minds all over the world and bring them together. There's no boss in the system. It's all of us working together. It's us combining resources and making things happen. That's what mad science is all about. And the fact that when mainstream science dropped the ball and they're telling you out there, oh, we're looking years down the line before we can get this technology resolved. That's a lie. It's a dad burn lie, man. There's black ops projects out there, government related and military related and even some of the secret alphabet agencies related with technology that would blow your doors off if you knew it even existed. And all we're talking about is easing the burden for the average Joe to not have to pay such a high electric bill, if any at all. Because if you've got energy, free energy, Tesla believed it, I believe it, and so many other researchers out there believe it, that if you've got free energy for the people, you don't have to pay for energy cost because you understand how to use the resources properly. Well, then you ain't got no reason to go over there and fight with somebody over their oil. You ain't got no reason to fight with anybody over food, medicine, anything. And you take that away from the military-industrial complexes of the world, and then we can live in peace. we could start seeing how far humanity could actually go. That's what I'm shooting for. I'll probably get shot before I reach my goal. Who knows? It seems like every time somebody gets close, then something happens. That's another thing. You need to protect your researchers out there. I don't know what happened to my friend, but after I showed him and he said it worked, everything worked just like I said. I ain't heard from him for over a month now. I don't know whether he's out of country or basically just ran off or what. I have no idea. I ain't got no way to get a hold of him. The phone number don't work and nobody answers the Skype. And I don't want anything from this person other than know that they're still alive and safe. That's all I want. And so, you know, I said, I would give this information to anyone who will take it and use it and share it. I'm trying to push information out of my brain so fast as I possibly can. I'm only one guy. You know, and I do these YouTube videos. I haven't done a YouTube video in a while. I hadn't done a live stream in a while. Because quite literally, to be blatantly honest, you know, I'm trying to live life and I'm losing my interest in trying to, help the world out because it's not going anywhere. You know, I keep trying to get people to come to the table and let's work together. Let's get it done. Let's stop all the arguing and ridiculousness. Let's try these things. Let's build them. But somebody always has something else in mind. They either want to re-engineer the entire idea, or they don't think it'll work, so they don't not willing to try. Or for whatever reason, we just can't seem to move forward together. I got so many doggone ideas in my mind that I want to get out there to the world. I wish I could just dump it all in one shot and walk away because it would be easier on me. I wouldn't have to worry about it anymore. That stuff takes a toll on you after a while. My brain is constantly on fire all night, all day. I'm thinking and I'm trying to figure out methods by which to show people to prove what it is I'm saying. I did the bottle caps for mad science, got very little response out of it. I've done a lot of different things trying to get some response. I got very little response. It's people, you know, they don't want to do it, but they want to see if it can be done. So maybe they're just watching to see what I come up with. Maybe that's it. You know, but they don't want to do it themselves. They just want it to be done. I want it to be done. I want everyone out there to have, you know, their own power source so that if worst case scenario, the power grid ever went down, they got everything they need. And so I'm showing them all these little bits and pieces of things, possibilities you can use for this and that or whatever, if anything else, to keep batteries charged up, different ways of heating and cooling. And these are all things that I've researched, plus things that are going through my mind that I'm trying to draw every kind of design or explain to somebody in graphic detail in hopes that they will take that idea and run with it and see how far they can take it. I don't care if they get rich. You know? I don't care if they steal the idea and claim it's theirs. I don't care. I'm not looking to protect intellectual property, otherwise I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing. All I'm trying to do is share information with people. And between the trolls and the craziness and suppression and whatever the heck goes on out there, censorship, when you try to put free energy on YouTube, you're up against a whole bunch of knuckleheads out there faking it. And I'm sick of it. Because every time you turn around, the terminology free energy alone basically makes you look stupid and nobody's paying attention to what it is that you're trying to show them. Energy is free. If you can't find free energy, you're simply not looking hard enough. Because it truly exists. It's everywhere. We're energy. It don't matter. You just, if you... if you learn how to use it, if you understand the mechanics of what's actually going on, you've already got what you've been looking for. All these different alternative energy devices that end up failing for whatever flaw, if you take that one flaw and say it will only run for so long and then it starts to drain itself down, you put a supplementary system on there, now you've got an incredibly efficient system where when that thing ain't doing what it's supposed to be doing, the wind is spinning the blade around, it's turning the turbine, charging up the doggone battery is keeping that thing running 24/7. So you don't put all your eggs in one basket. You add extras to it so that you're pulling power in from every single direction and doing it in such an efficient manner that you'll have that thing running 24 hours a day, no matter what's going on. That's what the Free Thinkers video was about. But I'm done being mocked and ridiculed. I'm done being shuffled off. I don't know what to say. The bottle caps for mad science, I'm not giving up on it. I'm still going to show people some cool things that you can do and how to recycle plastics in a really unique kind of way. And when it's all said and done, I will have done what I set out to do. You're going to see free energy. I guarantee you, if you haven't seen it already, but you're going to see it, and it's going to come from the least likely space. It's going to actually come from the system when they make a mistake and put it out there on the table. And when you find out how super efficient it is, they'll find some reason to say, we got to have a recall on that. We can't have that out there. It's been done before. They've had carburetors that are really incredibly efficient that the manufacturer comes back and now wants this thing back, because we can't have a perfectly efficient engine out there. Can't do it. And there's electric cars that work just fine, and then suddenly they got recalled. Yep, that's it. That's what we're dealing with, folks. Some people say I'm ranting. Some people say I'm on a soapbox. Sometimes your best friends, as far as what you think you got out here on the internet, as far as your team members, could end up being your worst hindrance. Because they're really smart. In some instances, they're too doggone smart. And they don't want to allow you to be you. They don't want to try to build things from somebody else's mind other than their own. And I've been up against the wall for so long trying to pull other people on board. If I was by myself and filthy, stinking rich with access to be able to hire anybody that I needed and fire them if necessary, and I told them, I don't want you to re-engineer this. I don't want any input other than you take your talent and you build exactly the way that I say. That's what I'm paying you for. If it fails, it's all on me. So, if I was under those circumstances, right now sitting in front of you would be the plans, the prototype for exactly what everybody's talking about they needed. It'd be a done deal. And then I would be happy. But as it stands, every idea has to come with somebody to manufacture certain parts. And if you don't have access to ways to bend plastic or all the cool tools out there, 3D printers and all that kind of stuff, I don't have those kind of capabilities, so I gotta outsource them. And if there was some way that I had my own lab that had all these machines necessary and the funding necessary, it'd be done. That water engine that I talked about, there would be a working prototype within 30 days. It would be done. But the only way to ever get there is when this world decides that they're tired of the system and it's in the way that it functions. You're not going to get these people, you're not going to get them to give you what it is that you're looking for. And in that, you're not going to be able to find peace, because the system sure loves going to war. The system sure loves robbing people. They love living in the power structure and the lap of luxury. You listen to some of these people who are supposedly senators and congressmen, and they have no clue about anything realistic in science and physics or anything like that. How they got there, I have no idea. They got there because somebody either knew they were too stupid to argue with them, or they had money and they were fighting for power and they got up there. When's the last time you seen somebody like yourself sitting in a Senate seat? You don't. Nor do you see them sitting in Congress. They won't give you that power. If you want the true power, you're going to have to take it. And I don't mean by force. I mean, you take this, all these ideas that I've been trying to share with everybody, and you run with them, along with your ideas, and we'll get this thing done, once and for all. Been listening to Mad Science. If you like what you hear here, share it with somebody. Peace and love. Take care, everybody.
The preacher man says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a going dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see. A woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. We grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those wooden old boys raised on shotguns. We say grace and we say ma'am. If you ain't into that, we don't give a damn. We came from the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the West skies. And we can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. Grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and his taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures of the Broadway night, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beach nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, 'cause a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Cause you can't stop
California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land. And we can skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
Hey, Doctor,
never mind that. Never mind that now. Never mind that. Never mind.
Why, that's me. Look at me. I'm an old man.
Hey, I'm Dr. Emmett Brown. I'm standing here on the parking lot.
Thank God I still got my hair. Well, what on earth is this thing I'm wearing?
Well, this is a radiation suit.
Radiation suit? Of course. Because of all the fallout from the atomic wars. This is truly amazing. A portable television studio. No wonder your president has to be an actor. He's got to look good on television.
Whoa, this is it. This is the part coming up, Doc.
No. This sucker's electrical. But I need a nuclear reaction to generate the 1.21 gigawatts of electricity.
What did I just say?
Flux capacitor storage. This sucker's electrical. But I need a nuclear reaction to generate the 1.21 gigawatts of electricity.
1.21 gigawatts! 1.21 gigawatts! Great Scott! What the hell is a gigawatt? How could I have been so careless? 1.21 gigawatts? Tom, how am I going to generate that kind of power? It can't be done, can it?
Look, all we need is a little plutonium.
Oh, I'm sure that in 1985, plutonium was available in every corner drugstore, but in 1955, it's a little hard to come by. Marty, I'm sorry, but I'm afraid you're stuck here.
Whoa, Doc, stuck here? I can't be stuck here. I got a wife in 1985. I got a girl.
Is she pretty?
Oh, she's beautiful. She's crazy about me. Look at this. Look what you wrote here, Doc. I mean, that says it all. Doc, you're my only hope.
Marty, I'm sorry, but the only power source capable of generating 1.21 gigawatts of electricity is a bolt of lightning.
What did you say?
A bolt of lightning. Unfortunately, you never know when or where it's ever going to strike.
We do now.
This is it. This is the answer. It says here that a bolt of lightning is going to strike the clock tower precisely 10:04 p.m. next Saturday night. If we could somehow harness this lightning, channel it into the flux capacitor, it just might work. Next Saturday night, we're sending you back to the future.
Of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission: to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Crap.
Ah! Ah! Ah!
accident.
Hello, operator. Give me the number for 911.
I got a laptop. I make music with my friends.
He's got a laptop. He's got a laptop.
I've got a laptop, baby. I make music with my friends.
He's got a laptop.
There it is.
He's got a laptop.
God's name is going on in here. What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch.